Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. After reaching the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 8 years, the Cleveland Cavaliers' quest for a Larry O'Brien trophy ended Monday night, falling to the New York Knicks 130-93. Despite being swept, Cavs star Donovan Mitchell sees a future with his group.
This team that we just faced had to go through this. They've been together, they've been a core group and had to go through this tough experience. So it's our turn. I'm sorry for the city of Cleveland for it to be like this in a sweep, but I told y'all last year and I would say again, we'll be back and we'll be ready and we'll be hungry and we'll be locked in.
Knicks await the winner of San Antonio and Oklahoma City, who meet tonight at 8:30 in OKC with the series tied at 2. College football, Ohio State has landed 4-star linebacker Prince Goldsby from Purdue Spring Spouth High School in Missouri. Goldsby, the number 7 linebacker in the 2027 class, is the third highest recruit under linebackers head coach James Laurinaitis since 2024.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
All right, here we go. Back at it after the holiday. Hope everybody's doing great. Rothman and Ice, Anthony Rothman, Matty Ice Hayes, and the Loose Cannon. Everybody present and accounted for. How we feeling?
What up? I'm feeling good. Yeah, I'm feeling good coming off the extended weekend. It was a very relaxing weekend for me. Watched a whole bunch of sports as always, right? And watched a documentary on Netflix, AR, called The Crash, which is based off a tragic accident that happened up in Strongsville. Now, I'm not going to spoil this for anybody. Mm-hmm. It's one of the hot shows now on Netflix. But it's a sad, sad story. But my goodness,
was it wild. Sounds like you had a very relaxing weekend.
Ooh, it's just like certain things that you hear in movies and TV shows that are going to stick with you for life. And unfortunately, there is something that's happened in this story. But just the raw footage that you get in this documentary is a sound that I unfortunately will not be able to get out of my head.
So I know this story.
Yeah,
I know
it
from a news story. And I will not watch this because I don't have any desire to watch something like that I know is true and tragic and sad. There are moments, I think years later, maybe you can dip back into something.
Yeah.
And I have done that.
Okay.
But this one seems to be a little too fresh for me.
It's very fresh. Yeah. It was, I thought, a tough look for her parents in this documentary as well. I don't know if they had the best showing, but at the root of it, it's a horrific, sad story. So I watched that, and man, went to Monday Night Raw last night. That was here at the Shot. You know, when the Tribal Chiefs in the city, I got to go do that. And then I came home, and I said, you know what? Let me fire up this Cavs game, AR. Had it on the DVR recorded, and that was nasty. That was nasty. So that was kind of the last 48 hours for me.
Yeah, I was wrong. I was wrong. I had a feeling that this was that I was watching a professional basketball team that would find a way to not let teams go on, I don't care who you are, on 20-0 runs and they're fundamentally flawed. They are. They have no way to slow down a game. They don't have the defense to do it. And they certainly don't have the offense to do it now. They did. They certainly did have the offense to do it. Before we get into kind of breaking down the game, because maybe you set us up in a good way that this was a crash. This was a crash landing. There's nothing more to say about it. I went up there Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
I was all in on that.
It's rocking, it looked
like.
I
have never been... Let me see if I can put this in the right words. I've never been in a louder arena that meant nothing. Where you thought at the beginning, oh, no one's winning here tonight but the home team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, they're going to protect. Like, there's it was one of those things that I had to remind myself. It was the same thing when the Niners came out to California Love and you thought the Ravens can't beat them tonight.
Was good.
Even though I did before then, I did after that song played, I didn't.
I was psychologically done in that moment as a Ravens fan. I'm charged up. I'm thinking we're on this magic carpet ride. Flacco's on one with Anquan Boldin. We got Ray Lewis using, what was it, deer antler spray or whatever to get healthy. Here we come out of the tunnel with you two. And then as you laid out, here comes the Niners, and I'm like,
boombox and the whole thing.
We are finished.
Yeah, right. And I felt that same way on Saturday night.
Yeah.
And so then around the first quarter, in our suite, shout out Sugardale, my boys, somebody started saying, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I'm like, what's going on?
She's arrived.
I swear to you, I didn't know what had happened. I just heard a, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Yeah, yeah. And it's Taylor and Travis sitting courtside. And so, all right, there's fine. There's a little hand holding, nothing much.
Okay, just chilling. He chugged a beer or something.
His own beer, promoted his own brew.
Feeling the vibe.
And
I'm not mad at it.
She, you know, was a little embarrassed. Her little frat boy, you know, fiance chugging beers on the Rocket Arena, Humongatron. And then they leave with 30 seconds to go in the half. By the way, Cavs just butchered the end of that half. Because when I say I went all in, I went all in. Emotionally, financially, and I took a drubbing. Like, I just felt like this was the night.
You got in the building.
I'm in there. I'm getting caught up in it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it is. I'm wearing they got the little glow bracelet going. When they score, and one section is the wine, and the other section is white or whatever it is. And, you know, the T-shirts are everywhere. I'm throwing it on. I mean, we're ready.
Yeah.
And the Knicks come out, and they go up 9-1. And like, all right, a little air taken out of the building right from the get-go. And the Cavs claw their way back in it. So I think they even tied it. I think it was 50-50. I think it was in the second quarter. And then they botched the end of that, and that was all she wrote. And it was embarrassing. And it never really sniffed it the entire way. And the balance for me is difficult because...
Let me hop in here before we get to game four.
Yeah.
Because you and I had brought up a topic going into the game, game three. We knew you were going to be there. We put you on the case.
Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Help me out with something. Because I don't believe Miles was there.
I didn't see him.
I believe Todd Monken was there under the Cavs basket.
Okay, I didn't see him, and they didn't put him on the Humongatron unless I missed it.
I swear my
Why
eyes
wouldn't they have put him on there in
Todd
fear of...
Todd Monken. I don't know.
I mean, he hasn't lost a game yet. This would be the time.
That's why I wanted to ask you, and maybe some
didn't
people
can
help me out, Chad. Help me out. I swear Todd Monken was at the game on Saturday.
It'd be all over Twitter.
But it doesn't even matter if he was there or not because Miles wasn't there. So that scenario didn't even present itself.
The only Brown that I saw was Casey Concepcion.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, in the suite next to you?
No. In the seats.
Okay. Tiny guy in person. What'd that look
like? He looked a lot bigger on the Humongatron. and I texted you guys, Fetty Wap did the halftime.
Yes.
He did the halftime show. So he sang a little bit, and that was good. And
got the house rocking a little
bit.
I
did not think there'd be that many Knicks fans there. I was wrong. There was a good pocket of them in places in that arena. It wouldn't have been, I wouldn't have noticed it, but I noticed it after either a foul call or a basket.
Yeah.
For them.
It was something that in a different sport I felt before when it comes to a New York fan base, and it was Yankee fans and the way that they travel. And so I went to a Pirates game last year, and AR, I thought it was a Yankee home game. That's what it felt like. Now, on the flip side of that, the Pirates last year weren't very good. Like, they are pretty solid this year. But they just, that's the one city to where I think they travel better than any other city.
Well, you can drive this one, and it was over a holiday weekend.
Yes.
So if you just came for game three and wound up staying overnight and you wanted to drive back Sunday or even stay another night and drive back Monday, or dare I say just stay for both if you could afford it. There were some dudes that turned around to us. There were four Knicks fans sitting in front of us.
Yeah.
And they turned around in the fourth quarter and said, are you selling your tickets for Monday?
We want it.
They go,
we want it.
They're not mine to sell.
They did this in the Atlanta series, the Knicks did, fan base. They did this in the Philly series, and they did it again to where they just walk in your trap and take over your trap. AR, and the fan base did it and the team did it yesterday. Both parties.
The other, yeah. You know, part of me felt like they would toy around and want to clinch at MSG.
Play with their food a little
bit. Just a little bit, just so they could clinch at home. Not that they would be thinking that, just kind of in a cosmic way. Just, okay, they lose game four, no big deal. They'll come back and clinch at home. But then when you saw last night, Spike Lee and Ben Stiller, like you saw them all there, and I'm thinking, all right, came to Cleveland to watch the clinch. That means they were obviously confident, and that team, we'll get to it, and we'll break it down. It was a perfect storm, man, and they just got swept up in it, and it was pathetic and embarrassing in a lot of ways, and I was wrong. I thought they could compartmentalize game one, and not that they win game two, but coming home to that arena, and I'll say it again, I've never been in a place that I've felt that emotion lately, at least recently, that had nothing to do with the outcome of a game. Like, they just carved their heart out. And even though they analytically advanced, they did that.
I don't know what was going on with Kenny Atkinson at microphones throughout this series.
I think I
kind
of have an idea.
But man, that was a tough outing for him, I think.
And Donovan Mitchell was asked a certain question after the game, and we'll tell you what he could have said or what maybe he wanted to say and didn't. Rothman.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Comet Man and Tinny are inviting select jabronis to the station for pizza. Hey, that could be you. Email goodcleanboy@gmail.com and tell us why you should be chosen.
Presented by Billiards Plus and sponsored by Paisano Peppers.
The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly cloudy skies for us today, with temperatures getting up into the upper 70s to low 80s, and then chances of showers and storms as we head into the evening and overnight, with our lows down into the 60s. We will see scattered showers and storms on Wednesday. Could have some heavy downpours possible. Temperatures will get into the upper 70s to right around 80 degrees. To the Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with a 10 weather impact forecast.
Common Man, a radio veteran, has a large hemorrhoid. Timmy Hall, a good clean boy. Moonlight says man's hemorrhoid. Common Man and Timmy.
Weekdays at 3.
The Fan. Maddie ranked the most dynamic duo of all time, Caesar Salad and Moscow Mule. This is Rothman and Ice.
It turned out to be a joke of a series. A little quick research during the break. It looks like Todd Monken was there, but the picture that was taken of him was not in seats. It was probably somewhere pregame or halftime. I can't tell. There's a dude on Twitter that put out some pictures. He must be courtside, because he had a pretty close-up picture of Travis and Taylor leaving, of Travis sitting in his seat, and of his daughters with Taylor Swift in the tunnel.
That's cool.
So, but that's it. So you're right. He was there.
So Todd was there, but no Miles. No. So maybe Miles saw the list of celebrities that were going to be there and said, oh, my head coach is going to be there? No, I'm not going to the game. Yeah.
They did not roll out the celebs the way, I mean, Travis and Taylor probably are equal to whatever the Knicks could put out there.
Yeah.
But,
and Fetty Wap's just there for the check. You know, his agent's probably, hey, the Cavs want to pay you, I don't know, 20 grand to perform at halftime or something. Sure, I'll go to Cleveland. It took the Knicks celebrities to create a celebrity row. That's what happened. Now, look, Taylor Swift coming in is a big, big, big deal. Like, she's arguably the most popular person on planet Earth right now. But as far as the amount, we kind of figured that would have to come from Spike Lee and the gang and Ben Stiller and all those guys. And it's what happened, except Fat Joe couldn't get in the building, apparently, thanks to Dan Gilbert. And Dan Gilbert's sending out a little message to season ticket holders. You sell your season ticket holders, you're out. I guess that was word on the street.
At least the ones that are courtside.
Would you have sold yours? Fat Joe's reps call you.
Not if I knew that he was going to strip them. That would be... Although maybe after seeing what I saw at home the last couple of days, like, you can have them back.
Exactly.
Right? I'm done. So, honestly, that was a rough play because now a lot of people might be like, I'm done. Who knows? They did make... Listen, they got to the Eastern Conference Finals. They got swept. They got swept by a team that... What can I tell you? I didn't think they were that good. They played really well. They shot everything. Shamet was amazing. Like, Brunson was great. Game one flipped it. I didn't think it would. I thought the Cavs would at least protect home court in some way, shape, or form. I did not see that coming. And they just down their leg, man. It was awful. I've never seen a team value their possessions less. Like, these deep lobs into the post that get deflected. By the way, the one thing I was going to say about being able to slow down a game, if you can't make shots, you have to slow it down by getting into the post. They have no post presence. They have two bigs, and nobody can play with their back to the basket. Nobody can get to the free throw line. Nobody can slow down a game. And by the way, every turnover, either the Knicks were forcing turnovers, so give them credit, and then there was somebody cherry picking. So their fast break, you know, they were getting layups and fast break. I don't know what else to tell you other than New York is on one, man. What, they won 11 in a row now in the postseason?
They're wiping the floor with people right now.
Yeah, but the coaching was bad. The coaching was bad in game one. I know what he's trying to do with this analytically. It's not a good thing to say publicly. I think you can say it to your team privately. I think what Atkinson was trying to do, and I think he's a nice guy. He's a good guy. You can just tell. He's a good dude. You know, he'd be a good guy to cover, but he was in over his head. The whole timeouts thing, the analytically, we're beating them. Yeah, what he's trying to do there, he's trying to generate some positivity for his team publicly. Like, hey, we're not as bad as the score indicates. You've heard people say that. You know, if we shore up this side, you know, that's what he's trying to do.
But nobody at this level, right, wants to hear kind of a moral victory-ish tone coming from a head coach about their team's results or lack thereof. Like, at least me. Like, I don't want to hear that from a coach.
Well, while the series is still going, Maddie, I think guys, like, when the series is over, like, you know, I called out J.B. Bickerstaff after his bologna sandwich he was serving everybody after they lost to the Cavs. Like, that was a joke.
We played a clip from a college basketball coach. You're like, we're blessed to be in this league. We're blessed to be one. And like, no, when you're on the losing side of things in that type of fashion, in dramatic fashion, the way that that basketball team was and the way that the Cavs were coming out of this game, I don't want to hear any of that stuff. I don't want to hear anything about moral victories at all. And I think that's what Kenny Atkinson was trying to do over the weekend. And so it was just a rough look for him. But there's bigger stuff that they got to get figured out than what Kenny Atkinson is saying at a microphone right now. The same feeling I have right now coming out of this series is the same exact feeling that I had coming out of the Knicks series a few years ago, is that this team gets punked by this team. It's unbelievable to me. 20 offensive rebounds yesterday for the Knicks. That's an effort thing. And I know people are calling them out for quitting and all of that stuff. Only they know that. It didn't feel like they played with the same focus and fight that I've seen them play with throughout the year and throughout the postseason. I didn't feel that from them yesterday. But that was one of the most glaring things that we talked about a few years ago, was the offensive glass. And they got punished there again yesterday. And then you highlighted their offensive process and how they're going about things and how they really only have a couple options that they can go to. And when one of those options isn't working in the form of three-point shooting, then you're really screwed. And that's what happened. They got up over 150 threes in this series and shot less than 30% from that line. And when you're this team, to your point, that doesn't have we got a dude down low that we know that can slow the game down and get a bucket, or he can slow the game down and go to the line and actually hit those. They don't have that consistently. Yeah. You're going to something that wasn't there. And then when you don't have that on offense connected to what was the worst playoff defense this season, then you're really in a world of hurt. And so that's where this team is right now, is the identity of where they were, which is a top 10 defense over the last few years under J.B. Bickerstaff, and even last year under Kenny Atkinson, for the most part, completely fell flat. And then you're going up against a team right now that is on fire and making everything and crushing everybody that's in their path.
Yeah. they got to the Eastern Conference Finals. Yeah. If they would have made it competitive, I think we'd have a better taste in our mouth. I don't think there was any real shame losing to this Knicks team that seems to be on fire. And by the way, much better defensively now. Yeah. Like, people used to hunt Cat and Brunson. Now they can't. And so they're feeling it. The Cavs did everything. They flipped a 26-year-old for a 36-year-old and Harden. That obviously didn't work. There's no long runway there, even though he'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
But when I watch this game, you talked about effort. And, you know, I see Cat run the floor. I see him follow baskets, follow slams, and it's just too easy a lot of it. You know, they're fundamentally flawed. They've got a lot of guys that can shoot that weren't shooting very well. A little bit like Boston in that way. When they're not shooting, things just go south. And then you run into a really hot team. Like Shamet was incredible. Brunson is obviously who he is. But a 20-0 run, you get the highest payroll and highest active payroll in the NBA. And by the way, I don't want to hear this, oh, well, we had to play two game sixes and we're not rested. Come on. It's the playoffs. You're not even practicing that much.
I agree. Like some of the comments, not just from Atkinson, but I think TLC has the comment from Harden. Can you play the first Harden clip about, I think he's saying that he thought they were probably still even the better team?
I can't even answer that question, honestly. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it was 4-0, but I don't think we had a chance as far as our best shot, you know, from a standpoint of the circumstances. You know, obviously they dominated us 4-0. But, yeah, I don't know if I can necessarily answer that question. Just because genuinely I do feel like we are the better team. But, you know, series-wise, you know, it didn't show it. So, tough question to answer.
What do you mean by you're the better team, James? You mean you're the better team on paper? You're the better team in salaries? What are you the better
Correct.
Team? Meaning because you have more guys that can shoot? Because I didn't see that. You don't have the post presence. You don't value the basketball enough. Where were you better?
And on their, I would want their roster right now over the Cavs roster. So I don't think that they are better anywhere. And that's why it was just head-scratching for me to hear them say some of the things that they said throughout this series and even after the series, like a level of delusion for me that I just don't understand when you're physically getting dominated the way that they did. And to some people's eyes, mentally, they folded and didn't show up in the last two games either.
Part of that is the way the Knicks were shooting. Who had that fadeaway, though, like 1 foot? Like, that was the dagger. I don't know whether it was Bridges or somebody.
I think it may have been.
Somebody had a dagger on the right wing that was just, it was part of a big series of, all right, if that goes in,
we're done.
Then it's destiny. Yeah, like, done. I think there was part of that. So I don't want to, like, see, I don't want to get caught up in saying, oh, well, they quit and they made it. Like, part of it is the other team did that to you. I get it. But to me, the most frustrating part of it is they don't value possessions. They don't. They swing the ball. It gets knocked away. There's Mitchell kind of stands around. And then when he gets it, he tries to go one on everybody. And Harden certainly isn't quick enough necessarily to get anybody off the first step anymore. And they can't dump it down in the post. And when they are shooting, Merrill is not even set up to shoot. It's like a catch and throw at the end of a shot clock. Like, their offense was not running. Atkinson has to take a big brunt of this. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to put it all on him. He can't defend and can't shoot. But what I saw in this series, he was over his head.
Yeah.
He could not slow the Knicks down with any, like, you have timeouts at your disposal. Use them. You have to do something, man. And I know that game one is the one where everybody says that when you lose that, and I trusted that they were professionals and they could compartmentalize and they could protect home court and they could get tougher and have more emotion. But this game is about making and missing, and they missed a lot.
When the change happened, going from J.B. Bickerstaff to Kenny Atkinson, part of the reason why they told us they wanted to do that is because they believed in Kenny Atkinson's vision on offense and what he could do with the core four, specifically the bigs, Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. That's now a massive question mark coming out of this series. And so I think that Dan Gilbert and his crew really need to look around and figure out where this thing is headed, specifically with the core and the head coach, because now I think it's fair to question whether or not Kenny Atkinson needs to be leading the charge with this team after this embarrassing playoff series that we just watched.
Guess who else did that? Getting to the Eastern Conference Finals and blowing their guy out. The team that just beat him.
There you go. Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah.
They said that wasn't good enough.
It wasn't good enough.
Mike Brown, come on down. And now here they are four games away from winning the whole darn thing.
We'll break it down with our friend Tyvus Powell in 2 minutes and ask him a question about the Buckeyes and this defense. Will they still be dominant? That's in 2 minutes next. Rothman and
with lots to do. Give me the sunshine, give me a do. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing Mountain Dew. So give me my good friends, give me a do.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
Rossman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Betty's favorite show is Big Brother. Don't read into it. He's only watching strangers through hidden cameras. You're listening to Rossman and Creepy Stalker Guy.
All right, it's that time of the week. We welcome in the baller from Bedford. He is Tyvus Powell, and I get to stare into those dreamy eyes today.
Oh, don't do that. Don't make it weird. Don't make this weird. My eyes are not dreaming. My wife does not dream at them anymore. She looks at me with disgust because she is pregnant and ready to give birth.
Okay.
So she looks at me like with scolding, like, you did this to me.
So are you a role player now?
What you mean?
What role are you playing again during this? Have you upped your game? Have you learned from the past? Like, where are we?
Well, this one, I want to be more hands-on this time. Yeah.
Deliver the child.
No, I ain't doing that. Okay. That might not go well if I have to deliver. Once the child is delivered, like, I want to be the one to truly, like, take care of him.
You taking the night shift?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying
now?
Okay.
Because my wife, she's done it 2 times.
Yeah.
You know, she got to do the breast milk thing. Like, she got to pump so I can, you know.
Don't make it weird. That was the first thing you said when we started the segment. Don't make it weird.
That's the most important part. Like, if I can't do the night shift, if I don't got no milk to give
on the night shift.
Listen, I know what they said on Meet the Parents. You know, you can milk anything.
Can you milk me, Tyvus? let me ask. All right. Well, we wish you all the best.
Thank you. Yes. I appreciate that. 1 week away. 1 week. Next Tuesday, he will be here.
He knows this.
He better know.
He got the memo.
It's a C-section.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right.
It's a scheduled C-section.
Right. Where are we at with names?
We got one.
Are you allowed to reveal that yet?
I'm not going to I don't know what the lieutenant wants on that one. So y'all know him as Tsunami. That's what they called him on Baby Tsunami.
Tsunami Powell.
Yeah, that's not his name, but that's what we're calling
name.
That's what we're calling
for defender.
Yeah.
Tsunami Powell. That might work.
He ain't playing defense. If he decides to play football, it's quarterback. That's it.
Okay.
Just quarterback.
Even a receiver?
No, quarterback.
I feel like you could train a nice receiver.
No, quarterback.
The trash talking skills you have?
He can trash talk at quarterback.
But the receivers are making money, too.
Nah, not like quarterback though.
All right.
Quarterback is like guarantee. Like, if you get a long leash as a quarterback.
Why don't you start a reality show raising a quarterback? And like how Earl Woods did with Tiger, like raising a golfer.
You know, like I could do that. I could have him go to his Uncle Cardale, who apparently needs a statue outside the Woody. So, yeah.
He wants one.
No, Urban Meyer on the podcast said that Cardale deserves a statue or a plaque.
Those are two very different things.
I kind of want to talk to him about it a little bit.
What do you want to talk to him about specifically?
I would tell Urban, you know, if I ever got the chance to talk to Urban, I would say, you know, Urban.
What about mine?
No. I would say, you know, Urban, it's one of the things that you taught me was you gave us this plan to win, right? And it was like 5 things on the plan to win. If you do these 5 things, you should win. Do you know a number one? I would ask him, what is number one on the plan to win? And he would say, play great defense. Mm. And I would say, that's correct. Because it just seems to be.
Not establish the run?
That's second.
Oh, is it
that's
really?
Second, actually. Run the ball is second. But play great defense is one. And I just feel like the defense get lost a little bit in that story. Just a little bit.
The defense lost a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't stop recruiting.
Yes.
Ohio State won't do that. Mm-hmm. So the people that think that all of a sudden this is a massive rebuild, I mean, they may be a top three. They should be a top three preseason team.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any concern for you about this defense?
I think if you look at the defense, the only thing is obviously the linebacker play. I mean, you got Peyton Pierce in there. And the thing is, when you lose, when you're going from Arville Reese and Sonny Styles to Peyton Pierce, there's a size difference. You got two guys that were 6'4", 6'5", at linebacker, and Peyton Pierce is 6'1", 6'2". So, like, that probably is the first thing that stands out. But I have no doubt that Peyton Pierce is going to be a smart football player. I love the fact that they went and got the guy from Wisconsin, Christian. I think he's going to do really well there as well, to have some veteran depth there. And then we'll see which one of these young guys. Riley Pettijohn, we didn't get a chance to see because he was hurt over the spring. TJ, we got a bunch of guys that can come in there and play. So the linebacker thing is the position that you probably would think. But James has been so good at coaching these guys up and getting these guys ready to play. It's like, it's kind of like the receiver position with Hartline. Like, it was not something that I thought about because I have so much faith in the coach.
Talk about the responsibilities left behind by Caleb Downs now. I mean, you played that position at a very high level, but knowing what he was doing, both, I'm sure, mentally as a teammate, but also physically every day out there on the grind. Talk about that now, and who's going to have to step up to fill those shoes?
Well, I think leadership, period, on this team is like the number one thing that you look at. I mean, even on the offensive side of the ball, like, who would you tell me is the vocal leader?
We don't know if Julian is
that's
a vocal leader.
That's what I'm saying.
We also, to this point, don't know if Jeremiah is a very vocal
guy. That's what I'm saying. Like, that's the one thing that I think is missing. I would imagine defensively, you got more guys because you got guys with a little swag to them. You know, you see Jermaine Matthews will probably say something. Mm-hmm. You know, Earl from Florida State, he'll say something. Peyton is probably going to wear the green dot. You know, talking to Matt Patricia, he probably will wear the green dot, so he has no choice but to say something. Kenyatta Jackson is a guy that's been here. He'll probably say, so you got a lot of leadership on the defensive side of the ball. I just think the offensive side is the one that I kind of worry about a little bit. But defensively, how to replace a Caleb Downs, I think it's hard because Caleb Downs is one of one. Like, he's arguably the best safety to ever play here. You know, it's him, Mike Doss, Jack Tatum. Like, that's probably the three. And Tyvus Powell, obviously, but that's another story for another day. So trying to replace Caleb Downs, it's almost impossible. But I think you got guys that are playmakers, you know, guys that's going to make plays with Earl coming in here, Earl Little coming in here. He's going to be the guy that I think changes the mindset on takeaways. You know, when I talked to Matt Patricia this spring, that was one thing. I was like, why don't y'all get a lot of takeaways? And he gave me this whole rundown about how we don't play as many snaps as other defenses do. We look at three and outs as takeaways. But I still want to take the football away. It's just not like, it's went down since Malik Hooker walked out that door. It hasn't been a guy that's truly been a ball hawk in the secondary, and I miss that, and I think that's what's missing. And I watched them in the spring. They get their hands on the ball and get positioned. Now, they need to get on the jug machine to find a way to catch the thing, but I think that's the difference. That's one thing that Caleb Downs didn't help them do a lot of, was take the ball away, and I think they'll excel in that this
year. Name your best safeties again.
Mike Doss, Caleb Downs, Jack Tatum, Tyvus Powell. Mount Rushmore.
I covered Damon Moore.
Yeah, he was good. He'd take away the ball, too. Good guy.
Yeah, but he didn't make your top four.
No. I mean, it's either him or me.
Oh, okay.
Me.
All right.
What?
I understand. Right. That's right. Every man for himself. I forgot that was number three in the winner's manual.
Ask him who his Mount Rushmore is. Okay. He's going to remove me and put himself. Okay, the other three is solidified.
Right. That's fine.
Switching gears quickly. If Kenny Atkinson called you today.
Oh, I tell him, you bet you need his help packing your bags.
And said to you, Tyvus Powell, we got exit interviews, but before all the guys leave, I want you to give the team a speech.
Mm.
A motivational speech going into the offseason. What would you say to the Cavs players today?
I'm disgusted that y'all sat here and in front of y'all fans too. That's the worst part. Y'all lost, like, y'all quit in front of y'all fans, the people that paid their hard-earned money to come see y'all. Y'all quit in front of them. I would tell them that y'all need to really spend some time in urban cities. You know, getting some hawk, just live to see the hard street.
Broward
life.
County.
Yeah,
maybe.
Something like that.
Harlem.
Train
so
down
when,
there.
Yeah, so when Apollo took Rocky
yeah.
before the rematch with Mr. T,
yeah,
took him into the inner city.
You got to do something like that. Yeah. If Jared Allen's back, like he got to braid it for the season.
So what you're saying is they need to get tougher.
Pretty much.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, it ultimately comes down to every time the Cavs lose, that's the word that always gets thrown around.
That they get punked.
I mean, the fact that you got two bigs and you get out rebound, you're the only team in the NBA, by the way, that really runs two bigs. Everybody else kind of runs four shooters and a big. You're still the only one that's old school. And you get out rebound. And then you quit like that. To me, as a core, if you quit, it's hard to say that you're going to be a championship team. Like, I've never seen a quitter turn into a champion like that. Took just an oxymoron.
It's hard to say they actually quit.
They quit.
I think New York shot their heart out.
Oh, they quit. Yeah. Their heart was taken after game one. It was so obvious.
Do you believe that Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift paid for those seats?
Yeah.
Obviously, that's what billions get you.
Not?
I'm just curious whether someone just gave those to them.
I don't think. Only person that got clout like that is LeBron.
Okay.
And that's because he won a championship there, and he's arguably the greatest player of all time behind Giannis and Michael Jordan. But that's another.
Just kind of wondering how that happens. Like, does Travis call up Dan Gilbert and say, we want to come to the game? Me and Taylor want to come. We want to sit courtside.
I'm sure that's
who's
probably
selling their seats. They just contact the Cavs PR and say.
Or you could just buy it. You know, you could look on the, what is it?
Someone's selling them.
Geek or whatever the heck they use. What these kids use today. Mm-hmm. You could look on there and see where the seats is and pay for them.
Good luck with everything you got going. You're in the red zone now.
Yes.
Don't settle for a field goal.
I would never do
all
that.
Right.
Yeah, I don't do that. You go all in these situations. I'm not Tanner Bibee. You're not going to pull me out in the third inning after giving up home runs.
Well, can't wait to meet Tsunami, man.
Appreciate
that. Can't wait to meet him.
I can't wait to Tanner Bibee is playing for the Clippers.
Sounds like a lot of people are going to be hands-on in this room. It's going to be like a multi-no-hitter, you know, where no pitcher gets the win. You're not getting the win, but somebody, you'll share in it.
Yeah, that's it. Pretty much. I'm going to do my part.
Delivery by committee.
There we go. You got to be there to help her through it.
My man, Tyvis Powell. Good to see you in the flesh.
I'll see y'all later.
Go Bucks. Go Browns. You're not going to do it?
I did.
We can edit it in.
Go Bucks. Go Browns. I'm done with the Cavs. Go Guards. Free Class A till it's backwards.
Back after this on Rothman and I.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Good news. Jack has personally invited the fan to the Memorial Tournament, and we're broadcasting 30 hours of live content, and we'll try not to embarrass ourselves.
Sponsored by Ohio for Responsible Gambling. Visit pausebeforeyouplay.org. The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Let's all gather into the Kiki. It's time to party like a rock star.
All right, Ice, take it away, my man.
All right, I'll lead us off. You brought up this guy's name a couple times out of the gate, and so I feel like he's got to land and party like a rock star. It's Wichita State's finest. It's Landry Shamet. Landry Shamet for the Knicks. Not that they're...
Rhymes with something else.
Not that their big four needed any help. OG, Cat, Hart, Brunson, like, those guys don't need much extra help game in and game out. But when they get it is when it makes the Knicks devastating. And unfortunately for the Cavs, they found out the hard way. Landry Shamet, 12 of 13 from three in the Eastern Conference Finals. This man, everything he put up went in from deep. And this isn't the first time we've seen this. You go back to their previous series against the 76ers in games 3 and 4, 67% from three in both of those games. And so when you have a weapon on the outside that can open things up for a guy like Jalen Brunson and for a guy like Cat, and especially Brunson, who likes to really operate in the mid-range and do his thing there, you have to respect what these guys can do on the outside. And he was just... dagger after dagger after dagger, it felt like, AR, throughout this entire Eastern Conference Finals run. Could not help but be impressed with what Landry Shamet was able to do, especially in that closeout game up in Cleveland last night. The dude was partying like a rock star. He wasn't missing.
There's a fine line between playing poorly and quitting. I guess I'm on an island with that. I cannot take a poll of every Cavs player and say, all right, did you mail it in? Did you stop playing? Maybe there's some effort in there. But collectively, they were not a good basketball team, and collectively, New York was outstanding. So you want to throw that in a science project and let me know which one it is. I'll be happy to listen. But for everybody that's saying, well, they quit. How about they just played like crap? Is that possible?
Maybe it's a combination of both, brother.
That you can't play poorly unless you quit? It's not possible, not like physically possible to be a bad team and be trying?
It's definitely possible. I think two things can be true. I think they went up against a team that's just much better than them. And I think, especially coming after that first quarter, when they got 38 dropped on their head, there may have been some guys that said, yeah, the beach sounds pretty good right now. I can't wait to get there tomorrow.
The Milwaukee Brewers picked this dude 63rd overall about 4 years ago.
Woo.
I don't know if anybody really knows him that much.
I'm so glad.
Jacob Mizorowski. I don't even know if even casual baseball fan knows. The guy threw 57 pitches of at least 100 miles an hour in a single game.
Yeah.
And I know that your guy, Hunter Green, his record was shattered because of this guy. But he also topped 103 10 times.
Yeah, it's different.
Like, and I'm not just talking about Charlie Sheen, Wild Thing, or, you know, Nuke LaLoosh taking down mascots. This guy's got some control. He can throw a hook when he needs it. Because think about the timing you have to have as a hitter. Knowing a guy can hit 103 consistently, and then when he throws you off speed, how bad you really could look. And he's 24. Mm-hmm. In five starts this month, he's allowed one run, striking out 49. And it's pretty amazing that he's thrown 22 career pitches of at least 103. And no other starting pitcher has thrown more than two of 103 since they've started doing the pitch tracking era. And no wonder, I mean, he was kind of, when he answered it, like, when they asked him about it, he's like, well, I throw hard. This is what I do. I kind of expect it. But Jacob Mizorowski, hitting 103 10 times.
Yeah.
I don't know how long he's going to last, but right now, party like a rock star.
I'm so glad you brought this up, because when you were out last week, AR, and JP was in, we stumbled into a topic of like guys that you would absolutely pay to go see right now. And he was my honorable mention guy.
Good for you.
Was Jacob Mizorowski, because it's, to me, I kind of see like the right-handed Randy Johnson, AR. Like long, lanky, 6'8" plus, throws a billion miles an hour. Like,
but his delivery is more controlled even than Randy. Randy came from such a wide angle, you didn't know where that.
I'm just talking about
point.
Stature. Yeah. That's all. Like, to me, it kind of reminds me of that from the right-handed side. But I'm so glad you brought him up, because the dude's been electric. I'm going to the NFL for my second candidate, and I'm going with a guy that when he got drafted, people were kind of dunking on this draft pick, and also the guy that he got drafted with. And I'm talking about Jack Campbell, linebacker for the Detroit Lions, coming out of the 2023 class. I remember, AR, the show after the first round that year. And what are the Lions doing? Taking a running back in the first round, taking a linebacker out of Iowa in the first round. Well, both those picks have worked out and then some. Because Jack Campbell last year, 2025, excuse me, his third year in the league, he turned himself into a first-team AP All-Pro candidate. First time he made the Pro Bowl as well. Now here he is signing a four-year, $81 million extension. Mm. 51 of the $81 million is guaranteed. And so they have a really, really good core on offense and defense up there in Detroit. They were proven right with those two first-round picks a couple years ago, and a lot of people question what the heck are the Lions doing in their window, taking a linebacker and a running back in the first round. Here it is. That pick has now absolutely come full circle. Jack Campbell partying like a rock star.
This weekend, 110th running of the Indy 500, and I've seen some close finishes before, but this one tops them all, so I'll stay with history. Final lap was absolutely thrilling. The winner, Felix Rosenqvist, 0.0233 seconds. That was the difference between him and David Malukas. And there were 70 lead changes in the race. That set an all-time record at the 500. With 14 to go, he had the lead, Rosenqvist did, and Malukas was running fourth. And then Armstrong took the lead, and then Schumacher hit the wall, and then it was on, and we had a shootout. And the 34-year-old for Meyer Shank Racing got it. Here's the final lap.
Malukas hunting, to the high side, around the outside, into the lead. Malukas leads with one to go. Rosenqvist around the outside of his teammate through one, into the short chute in two.
Teammates battle side by side, but out front, the young American chasing his first win off turn two.
David Malukas goes to defend. The MSR driver still side by side to wield that play into Malukas' hands. And here comes Pato O'Ward. Malukas is out in front.
Side by side behind.
It's not over yet. It's not over yet. Malukas has to defend from Rosenqvist. Great run off the final corner. Here comes Rosenqvist. Malukas defends. Who has it? Over the line. Who's it going to be? It's Rosenqvist. It's Rosenqvist.
Oh, my goodness.
Unbelievable. Chills, man. That's the Indy 500, the greatest race in the world. And Felix picks up about 4.5 mil for the victory. And that is Party Like a Roth Star. We come back top of the hour, and the floor is yours, Maddie. 821-9710 is our number. The winner, best call, will get the Skyline gift card. Line them up. That's next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
If you haven't thought about Buckeye football today, I'm sorry to tell you that you're dead. Our condolences. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan.
Getting a little older.
Mountain with lots to do. Give me the sunshine, give me a do. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing Mountain Dew. So give me my good friends, give me a do.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
Com.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg on the diamond tonight. Cleveland hosts Washington at 6:10. Joey Cantillo starts for the Guards who lead the AL Central by 3.5 games. Cincinnati visits the New York Mets at 7:10. Chase Burns starts for the Reds while the Mets have yet to name a starter. Hear it on the Fan after the Buckeye Show. Tennis, French Open continues to heat up in more ways than one. On the third straight day of 90-degree heat, 97th-ranked Adam Walton stunned former world number one Daniil Medvedev in 5 sets in the first round of men's singles. It's Walton's first top 10 win. NBA playoffs, San Antonio visits Oklahoma City at 8:30 in Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals, series tied at 2. NHL playoffs, Vegas looks to sweep Colorado at 9 in Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals. This update sponsored by Metal Supermarkets, your convenience store for metal. Visit Columbus at metalsupermarkets.com or 2180 Wilson Road for all your metal needs. Breaking sports news when it happens on the Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Miss a minute of Rothman and Ice? Check out the podcast.
Type in Rothman and Ice wherever you get your podcasts. Download and subscribe.
Back to Rothman and Ice.
Second hour of the program. You want a Skyline gift card? We got it for you. 821-9710. Best call will get the gift card. Skyline Dip Cholito now. They're back with a new twist at participating Skyline restaurants for a limited time. Before we get to the calls, I did notice something. I want to get your opinion on this because it was a little bit of a poll on whether he's got a cheat code on the brushing of the teeth. Did you see Bryce Harper on how he brushes his teeth?
I did.
He squeezes the toothpaste into his mouth.
Okay.
And then probably wets the toothbrush and then goes to work.
I think I might be team Bryce Harper on this just because what I originally do is I do grab the toothbrush, put the toothpaste on said toothbrush.
Of course.
And then do a little drizzle of water.
Of course.
What I've noticed sometimes is the toothpaste then falls off. So if that's what this is rooted in, then I'm seeing the vision. If he's run into the situation that I run into here and there, is then you got to get a whole new fresh batch of toothpaste on your toothbrush. If that's his reasoning, I support it, AR.
All right, I guess it's all right. No one's touching that toothpaste, I guess, except you. So when you're squeezing that tube,
it's not a germ thing.
You do kind of control the amount of toothpaste if you want to use more or less.
It's just, I think, the power of the water that comes out of the faucet can then have the toothpaste fall off into the sink, and then you got
to I'd like to hear his theory on it.
Please tell me. Go ahead, sorry.
No, if he spoke about it, I don't know. I just saw a video of it.
Please tell me, Air, that you have a cap on the head of your toothbrush, that your toothbrush right now is just not in your bathroom consuming all the air and just everything that's floating around in your bathroom. Please tell me there's a cap on your toothbrush.
I think you know the answer to this.
Oh, no.
I don't think you needed to ask this at the press conference. I think you already know the answer.
We got to get you a cap.
And I also think that if you ran a poll, 80%+ would not have a cap on their toothbrush.
We got to run the poll then.
You know when you have it on your toothbrush? When you travel and you put it in a dop kit or something, you're traveling in it. And you know what I've done, which may be even more of the poor man's version? I wrap some
paper towels or
toilet
something?
Paper around her.
I've done that, travel. I have done that.
But I will do that. I won't just put an empty toothbrush in the kit.
Yeah, we can't.
And go on a travel. But sitting right now, heads up in the cup.
It's in your bathroom right now.
Why do I need a cap on it?
I read an article about all the germs and everything that's floating around in your bathroom.
Okay.
And I have not been capless since with my toothbrush. So matter of fact, I'm going to order you one now. You asked for a Bluetooth.
I don't know if I'm going to want to use that.
But
it seems
TLC,
like a lot of work.
I think we need to put out this poll because I'm curious whether or not AR is correct. The amount of people.
It may be more.
This could be just yes or no. Do you have a cap on your toothbrush at home?
Throughout the day?
Yeah.
Just sitting in your bathroom right now.
Sitting in your bathroom.
I'm going to change my answer. I think it's 90+. I think 1 out of 10 might, and you're the one. I really don't think people do this.
Okay.
They do when they travel, but not when it's sitting at home.
All right. Well,
sitting at home, the toothbrush is in a cup, and it's sitting there ready for use.
Yeah. And just all the stuff that you do in that bathroom. That stuff just floating around, just attached, just locking in on your toothbrush. Set it up for 2:30, TLC. We'll come back at 2:30 and see what our wonderful listeners are saying about that.
90%.
Or no.
No.
I'm going to say it's at least 60-40.
No helmet on that soldier.
Hmm.
All right, let's go to the calls. Who you got?
We are taking trips all around. Okay. So let's start with Denny in Delaware, as he is now going by.
Denny in Delaware, your dime, your dance floor.
Felt like I needed a name change, but just to give you an answer, no cap on the toothbrush.
Okay.
I have not used protection since I was 15, so let's just keep with the trend. Not in a good mind state today, boys. I'm angry. I'm depressed. I mean, the Cavs played well for 3.5 quarters. Then all, you know what, hit the fan. So I'm not sitting well right now. The emotions are strong. I watched less and less of each game as each game went on. And I knew it reminded me of the 2018 NBA Finals with the J.R. Smith issue.
No.
So that's what I had flashbacks of, watching game one of that lead just slowly trickle away. So my idea is the Cavs need to somewhat blow it up. We need to trade Mobley. We need to get Giannis. We already know that LeBron's coming back to Cleveland. Screw it. Let's make him a player coach. If not, we're firing Kenny Stefanski. Yes, Kenny Stefanski, Mr. Analytics himself. Let's bring in Jason Kidd because that guy's going to use his timeouts. Even if he doesn't have a timeout, he's still going to get knocked and spill a glass of water on the freaking floor just so he could have a timeout. I mean, I can't even talk straight right now because I'm so pissed off. So either way, the Cavs need to slightly blow it up. But before I leave, my question of the week, if you're going to war to save the world like we need to save the Cavs, you get to take one action movie star with you, but it has to be a real person without superpowers, no superheroes. I'd like to know who you're taking with you, each one of you.
Oh, this is easy for me. I love this question. I am taking Heath Ledger's version of the Joker with me.
Really? But didn't he just say you take the actor and not the superhero?
He's not a superhero.
I think he said it's got to be a real person, and you would not be able to take him with you.
Because he's no longer. But I want that version. That's who I'm taking with me. So I'm going to, you know, find a little loophole in his question, and I'm taking Heath Ledger's The Joker with me. Because I think if I have him with me, with how crazy he is, how smart he is in that movie, I think he's arguably the best villain of all time in any movie, was Heath Ledger as The Joker. That guy, I think I can get some things done with in any different city, in any place on the world you places.
Boy, it's either going to go very physical here, right? You're either going to go The Rock. You're either going to go, see, he said the real person. So now you're dealing with age. Like, that's a problem. I can't go Arnold. I can't go Sly. I can't. Part of me, you know, it's weird. I started thinking about Matt Damon. Okay. And from just, I don't know why, but maybe I've watched Mars and too many of the Jason Bournes.
Chris Evans? He's Captain America. He could probably get some things done for you.
I'm taking The Rock.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
I think I am. Yeah. Okay. I think if we run into, like, I'd rather have that.
Hit somebody with the people's elbow?
Well, I'd rather just go down swinging rather than just thinking we can smart our way out of this. That's all. Who's next?
We got a few more here. Let's go all the way down to Florida. I don't know which part, but that's where Kurt is listening.
Kurt from Florida. The floor is yours.
Hey, guys. I'm from near Destin, and beautiful. I sit on my porch every day, smoke a nice cigar, and listen to you guys.
That's amazing.
From down here.
You want to switch places?
No, I lived in Ohio long enough. Okay. All right. I was there 16 years. So, anyway, this week is very special for us. My wife and I have been married 50 years.
Congratulations.
We got married in May.
Incredible.
76. So
congrats. That's
all
awesome.
I really wanted to say.
How do you celebrate that? For the golden wedding anniversary.
We're going down to the beach for a couple of nights at a hotel and eat at two of our favorite restaurants down there.
That's a win.
All right. Maybe you'll run into some SEC coaches.
No comment.
All right. Kurt, congrats, man. Appreciate you listening.
$12.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Kurt.
Did they get Skyline down there?
I already looked it up. There is not a Skyline near Destin, so he's not going to be the winner today.
Okay, just call it in for vibes.
Who's next?
I like that.
A couple more here. Let's go to Mark, who is in Plain City.
All right, Mark, floor is yours.
All right. Hey, guys. To the bathroom comment, I do not have a cap on my toothbrush, but I do keep it at least 6 feet away because I watched Mythbusters, and they said there's, like, just a cloud of germs that happens. So keep it away from the toilet. And then my question is, I'm going to the Pro-Am, which I've never been to, next week at the Memorial. So I was looking for tips and tricks going around the golf course for that day.
Tips and tricks for the Pro-Am. See, we don't have the list yet of who the potential celebrities are going to be. You know, we can kind of run you through some of the past ones. But, I mean, some of the really good spots would be 9 Green.
Mm-hmm.
Exit 9 Green, exit 18 Green.
You may see us around there.
You may see us, and don't kill me if I have to talk to somebody. And then Maddie always says, I'm stealing from the kids' time. Well, run after them. I got a job to do as well.
Oh, my God.
Run after them. Well, you know what? I'm only taking the 2 minutes.
Oh,
by the way, the whole bathroom comment, I just realized this.
Yeah.
My toothbrush is on the side where on the turlet.
You're not.
On that turlet side.
So while it hurt me to hear Mark doesn't have his toothbrush covered, at least he's done his research to know that there are a whole bunch of germs that are just floating in the atmosphere.
He said,
in your
bathroom. Not going to have it in the splash zone.
I just want everybody to have a clean grill. That's
right
all.
Right now, you're 0-3. Though.
I really am.
All right. You got a couple more. We'll come back.
Vaughn is going to join us in the next segment.
Beautiful. Okay. Gift card is still up for grabs. Rothman.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dix.com/scorecardplus for details.
Common Man and Timmy.
Every public bathroom
they should, blast,
should have white noise.
Or they should just blast Gavin DeGraw.
I don't want to be anything.
Common Man and Timmy Afternoons on the Fan is sponsored by the Hinderer Motor Company.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly cloudy skies for us today, with temperatures getting up into the upper 70s to low 80s, and then chances of showers and storms as we head into the evening and overnight, with our lows down into the 60s. We will see scattered showers and storms on Wednesday. Could have some heavy downpours possible. Temperatures will get into the upper 70s to right around 80 degrees. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 weather impact forecast.
There's nothing Bo Bishop can't do well, except find competent co-hosts. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice on 97.1 The Fan.
Thank you, Seth. Great call, though, by our boy, Denny in Delaware. He's got it. We got to get a name change on that. He's right. Because, all right, now I'm even screwing up. Who was our Dublin guy?
Dan? So originally, at the old station, it was Denny from Dublin.
Denny from Dublin.
Now we have
Danny from Delaware.
Our guy Danny from Delaware.
What is Denny today?
What is Denny? Yes.
This brings me back to when we used to have McMiniman and McManaman on the show.
Pat and Dave.
Pat and Dave. We had them on the show.
Both at the same time were
Pat
in Cleveland.
McManaman, Dave McMiniman.
Dave was Cavs.
Yeah.
Pat was Browns right at the time. And we had him on the show.
We'd have him on like every week. And I'd be like, all right, there's no way you can do that. By the way, who was producing at that time? Was it Colin?
It was me.
Why did you do that to us?
Just chasing the biggest stories at the time, just doing my job. That's all.
You can't forget Dan in Dublin.
TLC, love him. He's the best thing to happen on radio in a long time.
Sure.
Apparently, I'm the only one who remembers him.
Oh, man.
He hasn't called back since.
He stopped calling after that. He realized
he's forever in my heart.
He realized he backed the wrong horse.
Hey, he bought low. My stock's rising.
That's right. Tell him, TLC.
Get a man.
Oh,
all right.
You were going to bring up something with Denny again? Is it you brought him up, and I think you veered off. Did you want to go back to his topic that he brought up?
Oh, yeah, sorry. His topic was, if you had to take one action hero, real human being, not the guy from the movies, to some, where did he say, jungle or deserted island, you got to
zombie find your way something out. Like that.
And I said, you know, Jason Statham is a guy that I really like. And Maddie in the commercial break goes, yeah, you know, he's a badass. And I look at Maddie and go, in the movies? Like, I don't know. He seems all right.
Never met him.
It was kind of like, so.
We could take, I mean, Cruise does his own stunts.
That helps.
Mission Impossible. He's got to be.
What if you got stuck there with him? Would that be good or bad?
What are you talking about? Just in conversation?
I'm just saying, if you never get out.
Just hanging with him?
Probably be all right for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. My era.
Hugh Jackman. He's Wolverine. Seems like he's always in shape.
Well, before we get to Vaughn's call, Bill in New Albany called in the commercial break and said, why aren't they picking Scarlett Johansson and don't tell my wife I called in?
Scarlett Johansson from like Lucy? From like that type of?
Or Scarlett Johansson is like Black Widow.
Her?
Okay.
That would qualify her as a superhero.
Great call. By the way, that is a great call from him, because Maddie and I were just thinking about getting out. But you're right.
We're hanging
out. It goes
out
to my being stuck.
Right. Now I'm like, bring me Zoe Kravitz as Catwoman or Halle Berry as Catwoman.
Okay.
I don't need to go anywhere. By the way,
you might sabotage the whole thing. We're never getting out of here.
You might sink the ship after it docks. I guess we can't leave.
By the way, there is a movie that I haven't seen yet. I don't know if it's on Netflix or where it is. The new movie with Rachel McAdams, where she gets stuck
on that island.
On that island with her boss.
I saw that it was pretty good.
And then the tables are turned pretty quickly.
He's psycho
injured.
Or something?
No. He was just a bad boss.
Okay.
And they get stuck somewhere,
And then
it seems like one of them loses their mind in some form or fashion. Unless I was reading,
I don't think she really loses her mind.
I think
the movie's
him.
Called Send Help.
Yep.
And it's described this way: a survival horror comedy.
Good job.
She stars,
you know,
as this girl
that.
Who's at a downtrodden company assistant who finds herself stranded on a deserted island alongside her obnoxious boss. Following a plane crash.
Okay.
And I think in the trailer, he's a little bit dinged up from the crash, and he needs her.
Yeah.
And then he kind of still's playing this tyrant.
Okay.
Like, you're still my underling. And she's like, you might want to check the odds on that. Things have changed here. And then there's a whole...
I need to
you
tap
or
in
me kind of thing.
I need to check in on that movie. I haven't watched anything with Rachel McAdams in it, AR, I believe, since her run-in True Detective. Like, she's kind of been out of sight, out of mind for me. And her character in True Detective, let's say, was, let's go with edgy. She set an aggressive kind of tone in True Detective. She knew what she mm-hmm. wanted, and she wasn't hiding that from anybody. But outside of that, I don't think I've heard or seen much from her. It's been a little minute.
All right, TLC, pop them on. Floor is yours. Who's got it?
Vaughn does.
It's our boy, Vaughn.
What up, Vaughn?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good,
been a minute.
Good. Great, how are man. You? How are you?
I'm good, man. Glad to be back. I was in a YouTube chat, so I want to actually take this call to advocate for the YouTube chat. Like, if either of y'all just pop the monitor on, like, a lot of the time, they are commenting on everything y'all are saying. Like, they said even Denny in Delaware, you know, he went and said, you guys are taking the question out of context, because I think you can take the character and keep their... like abilities in the movie, they just can't be a superhuman. So somebody in the chat said John Wick. I was already saying that in my head. I'm like, if we got to go take back a spot, you know, John Wick, Denzel, Equalizer, any of the people in the White House Downs, like they got experience taking back a country or something like that. Okay. I think so. But yeah, the YouTube chat for sure. You guys got like 100 people in there right now.
All right, they got us then.
Shout
right.
out to the chat, right, by so the way. Chat, we love all you guys.
Okay, here's the deal. And I appreciate that very much. That's a much deeper leveled conversation. I think when Danny was asking us the question, he wanted an answer right away. And I started to think like, and he's like, you got to take the real human. You can't. So, and then the whole other level is he can't be a superpower individual.
So I can't get Homelander from the boys.
I don't think so.
I can't get Homelander. I can't get it because they're all souped up off, I think it was a Compound V or whatever it was in that show. So he doesn't
you
qualify.
You can't take Wonder Woman. You can't have that, Maddie. It can't
so Scarlett Johansson's out then. We can't get Black Widow.
I don't think so. Does she have superpowers?
Yes.
Okay, well then I don't think you can. This is a regular human being. It has to be like a MacGyver situation.
Then it's hard
or
to...
MacGruber.
Well, we don't play like that. That was when you said that. I just hear that sound bite in my head. It's hard to go up against John Wick then.
Or hey, you're gonna laugh. Haven't seen him.
None
haven't
of them.
Seen him. All I saw was the dog goes and
you're
wasn't
out.
Gonna do it.
They're very good. You know how I feel about trilogies and all of that. That gets dicey, but I think they did a good job with all the movies. I don't think I watched any of them and thought it was bad. And sometimes I feel that way when we get to trilogies and stuff. Yeah. And so I think you outside, and I know that's going to be a hard hurdle for you
well,
to get
I'm
over.
I'm taking Rambo. I'm not okay. overthinking it then. Because he didn't have superpowers.
Bring the
so.
Machete and let's get it popping, huh?
Yeah, I mean, he can do anything. Like, that's the guy you want,
uh-huh.
right? I mean, he's going to eat things that would make a billy goat puke. I mean, he's got it.
And I know that Denzel and Liam Neeson did great jobs in their role, but... I want somebody with a little bit more youth to them and a little bit more, I think, athleticism. So I think John Wick's presenting that over the Equalizer and what Liam Neeson was doing.
Who you got on deck?
We got Ken, who was in the west side of Columbus.
All right, Ken, the floor is yours.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I'm a Rachel McAdams fan, but... I called in, your producer didn't ask me any questions. I called in about the beer field tournament by chance. I was one of the first caddies up there the first year they ever had the tournament.
You were a caddy for the members, or you...
No, I caddied in the Pro-Am.
Wow.
I caddied at the Cider Country Club back in the 70s, and didn't have cell phones back then. I was going to Ohio State. I worked for A&P grocery stores. My dad calls me up. He says, "Hey, some guy Jack called for you." I said, "Jack who?" He said, "Nicholas or something." I said, "What?" They were looking for caddies for the Pro-Am. They used to have the Pro-Am back in the days. You know, I made maybe $1.20 an hour, you know, at minimum wage at A&P back then. And I think they gave us like $75 to carry the Pro-Am. And I carried a bag for some guy. He was a CEO for Bank One or some bank. He gave me a $300 tip for carrying his bag Tuesday and Wednesday up there.
Well, you should remember his name then. He gave you three bills.
that was 50 years ago, dude.
I know, I'm kidding you. Who didn't know who Jack Nicholas was, though? Some guy named Nicholas.
Dad knew. You doing your caddy stuff? You used to do it inside the country club. I said,
all right, so this is 1976?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Okay,
yes,
sir. So maybe you can confirm some things for me. I want to know this. Of the celebrities, was
Ed Sullivan,
was Mickey Mantle and Joe DiMaggio actually there?
Oh, I don't remember that. I know Roger Bumpy won it that year, I think.
Bob Hope was there, I assume.
I don't remember that either.
Was Jackie Gleason there?
I don't remember that either.
Was Evel Knievel there?
I bet Evel Knievel, but not there.
Who do you remember being there?
What's that?
Who do you remember being there of any of the celebrities at the Pro-Am?
Just the golfer. I had Tuzzy Zeller was there. So he was in our group that year.
That's a heck of a year to be there, man. Yeah. The first Memorial, and now we're 50.
Yep.
That's crazy. Good call.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Ken. Good stuff today from our callers.
Caddying at Memorial in 76. And I'm telling you, I've seen pictures over there. I've seen these guys.
Yeah.
But I had heard a rumor that Mantle and DiMaggio were in this program.
That's incredible.
Like in the mid-70s. And I've never really gotten confirmation on that. Okay. All right. TLC, it's your choice, man. Dealer's choice.
Mark in Plain City.
Mark in Plain City. You get the Skyline gift card. Skyline Dip Cholitos are back. New twist at participating Skyline restaurants for a limited time. Is Adam King going to be sauntering in here in the next couple minutes?
I've seen him in the hallway already.
Some people may be rooting for it. Some people may be rooting against it. Find out next. Rothman.
Lots to do. Give me the sunshine. Give me a do. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends. Give me a do.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
Rossman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Anthony once ran the table on the World 9-Ball Champion.
Coincidentally, Maddie is out looking for a Magic 8-Ball. Signs point to, this is Rothman and Ice.
Adam King, 10 TV, saunters in.
What up,
so
AK?
So much to talk about.
I mean, what a Monday.
First of all, Maddie, my boy Matt texted and said, Jake Gyllenhaal is the bouncer in Roadhouse.
He's the...
Pretty solid.
Okay.
All right, so...
All right, but before you get into...
Three things. I was listening on the way in.
Okay.
Okay, so one, I think putting a cap on your toothbrush makes it a little bit grosser, and here's why. You're putting that cap on it, unless you're traveling, on a wet toothbrush. So you're keeping all that moisture just trapped in there.
I think they have holes in it.
But
holes, Jerry.
I still
so
think.
So you would rather have germs than a little bit of moisture in your toothbrush, is what you're saying.
What I'd rather have? I'd rather have that door that shuts and the bathroom is a separate, like the toilet is a separate little area. You just shut that door, you know?
Maddie says it's more than just the toilet. He's like, there's all sorts of stuff.
What are you doing in that bathroom, big guy?
Yeah.
What all humans do in bathrooms.
Move it on.
I'm just trying to look out for everybody in their grill. That's all. You're a capless guy is what you're saying.
But if I travel, the funny part is when Rothman said, he goes, sometimes I'll even take, I knew exactly what you were going to say. You take the little toilet paper, you take the paper towel, wrap it up, and you, I mean, I'm not loose. I'm not just throwing my,
yeah.
You know, you got to have your little
bag. Oh, I'm
bag.
With you guys on yeah. that.
Or you keep, I actually keep the plastic, the container the toothbrush comes in, the brand new toothbrush, and I keep that, and I'll use that to travel with.
I'm also a guy that buys new toothbrushes a lot.
I like that.
Yeah.
Who buys a toothbrush? You get a brand new one at the dentist every 6 months.
No, I because I like the bigger bristles. The ones that the dentist give you.
Oh, no, they're not giving you the kids one. They're giving you an adult Oral-B. They're not giving you.
But the Oral-B might be tougher, softer. You know, some people
I want to feel like it's touching all the teeth at the same time.
Are you on board with Bryce Harper's way of brushing his teeth?
No.
Where he goes, I don't know if...
I didn't see.
Where he goes straight from the tube into his mouth with the toothpaste, and then the brush comes in.
What do you mean?
So he's not putting the toothpaste on his toothbrush prior to starting the process of brushing his teeth.
He's just putting
his going toothpaste to the grill, then the toothbrush in the grill, and then you start brushing. And I think I understand what he's doing.
That's a crime.
I don't think it is.
That's a crime. No.
It's a hair aggressive, but I think when you... the toothpaste on your toothbrush and then run water over that. Sometimes the toothpaste falls off.
Well, then just don't run the water over it. I don't know.
Well, you can't go in dry like that.
Some people do.
No, that's not good.
There's this three consecutive drops right there. Back to back to back by you three.
All right, before we get to your little fantasy camp yesterday, I do want to bring this up to you because actually my friend Matt, who... First time caller, first time texter, long time listener.
Shout out to Matt. Great name.
He wrote this to me last week, and I saved it for an entire week.
Just
two weeks, actually. Because when he was off and you filled in.
Okay.
There was a man that was arrested after sneaking into a Hampton Inn breakfast buffet.
No!
73 mornings in a row. Without ever being a hotel guest.
Wow.
So the answer to your question, how long of a run do you think you could have? That's your Cal Ripken.
That's
the number you have to go for. That's the record. He's the Iron Horse.
Respect.
He did it 73 times.
What's the punishment for that crime?
I don't know.
You have to pay them back, AK. What do you think the punishment should be for that, Adam King?
I think you should get an applause. I don't know if there should be a punishment. I mean, I think it should be like, hey, you can't do this anymore.
He was reportedly released from custody and was allegedly spotted at a Holiday Inn Express less than three blocks away within 26 minutes of his release.
I support this guy.
You know what?
I support
it sounds like the streak didn't end. We just don't have the final number. It's still ongoing. Could be 485 days.
Witnesses say he was also holding the same Tupperware container.
Nice. He's taking home some
stuff. That's a whole leveling up.
Nice.
You were off, Maddie. And Adam, I don't know how we got on the subject, but he just out of the blue says, how many days do you think I could sneak in just not being a guest?
Yeah.
And I said, well, if you sneak in and then you kind of get in the elevator and go up for a few minutes and loiter around and then come down, but I think if you walk right in and take a left to the buffet, it might be trouble.
This man said, I will walk right in
73
with
times.
Tupperware containers.
Tupperware's about, that's a,
to
that's
go. I don't think it was that many, but.
To go containers.
You get a couple of these Danishes to go.
You know what? You know? Knowing my life, you know, I had a wedding. There was a breakfast.
Gonna be a white wedding.
Up in Northern Ohio. You know, maybe I dined with this guy and I don't even know. Maybe I dined with, I did go down. I got some of the waffles. Maybe I was among greatness.
And
I
successfully just blended in.
Yeah.
Wow. 73 mornings in a row without ever renting a room.
Wow. What a move.
That's solid.
Yeah.
So you came in with three things that you wanted to talk to us about. One of them was the toothbrush situation. Yes. What are the other two that are?
The other is, I guess it was just two things because the third thing is the game yesterday. But the other is I think you have to take Tom Cruise from Mission Impossible.
He was brought up.
I had to get out of the car when you guys finally found the actual rules and learned that there's a chat of the show that, you know, everybody in the chat knows I love the chat.
We're trying to host at the same time and, you know.
Well,
he wanted an answer right away.
Yeah.
Like I didn't want to go through all the criteria. Yeah. All questions must be submitted in writing.
Yes. Vaughn was kind of letting us know that we need to show a little bit more love to the chat.
I'll be honest. Okay. Vaughn came after you. I was worried about you.
He's a supporter of you, Vaughn is.
Is he?
Yeah, but we got
a drop from Vaughn about
is
you.
Is that Vaughn?
Yes.
Hey!
that's your boy.
Hey,
we
Vaughn.
Also had another caller.
Adam King, which I know a lot of other people don't like him. I really don't mind him.
Yeah, but we had another caller that said, you know, I called in. Your producer didn't ask me any questions. Just put me on hold. Like, he's our last line of defense. He's on the chat. He's on everything. Like,
maybe I should have talked to him. Maybe I should have vetted who he saw at the pro-am.
Who was the guy that gave you the compliment? What was his name?
Oh, Dan in Dublin.
Dan in Dublin. We don't need to hear it. Dan in Dublin.
He saw me reach for the mouse.
I did. Dan in Dublin. I worry for that man because, honestly, he bought stock thinking like maybe it'll go up, and it was pretty even keeled, and that stock plummeted ever since.
Yeah,
he put all that stock in TLC.
Well, you appeared on my show yesterday, so what does that say about you?
On my show, I'll tell Jacob Reimer that he said my show. Wow.
Stealing breakfast at a hotel like the Hampton Inn 73 times in a row is not necessarily recognized as a if caught trespassing, which is what he did, and theft of service, I imagine, like consuming meals without being, I guess it's at the hotel's discretion. I don't know if you can come in. If they want to press charges.
I think they probably just say, don't come back here.
I hope that's
they probably
the
just trespass. Yeah, don't come back to any Hampton Inn ever again.
Yeah, trespass charge, I think.
73, that's a nice
he's
run.
Your waffles aren't that good. Let's not hand out trespass
charges.
They're free. All right? Yeah.
He's not eating just that. I mean, he's...
And you know what? For every waffle that he's eaten, somebody else overslept and missed breakfast. So you're breaking out the same when it comes to, you know, when it comes
to
your
inventory. So you're saying if you're running this hotel, you're like, no big deal?
I mean, I'm saying, hey, big guy, congrats on the record. We can't have you back here.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're not bringing all the employees out and singing them and holding up a banner.
I might try to find a trophy.
The record.
I might try to find a trophy. Maybe get a little waffle iron for him.
All right, I want you to stick around because apparently you had quite a fantasy camp last night. I don't think you even really wanted to cover this sport.
I did.
You kind of knew
I
was going to be there.
Sidebar.
And that was your motivation.
I'll tease ahead to this. I had no idea who was going to be there, but I was pleasantly surprised.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/ScorecardPlus for details.
Tom.
What's the best way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows?
Oh, no.
Download the Fan app, silly.
God damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Rothman and Ice present Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Save up to 50% on new windows from windownation.com.
All right, a little Buckeye Bulletin here with our friend Adam King from 10TV. It looks like they nailed down a 4-star player from Missouri.
Lowell B, right?
Prince Goldsby.
Yeah.
The names are getting better.
Yeah.
Wild names.
I mean,
Prince Goldsby.
That's good.
Number 7 linebacker, almost in the top 100 overall for 2027.
That class is shaping up real nice. Real nice class.
Yeah, they're not going to stop recruiting.
No.
It's good stuff, too, at that position, right, where James has momentum, lot of it, right, both on the field and what's happening at the NFL draft and all those things. So, yeah, Prince Goldsby.
They're not going to take as many guys, but they're going to keep swinging for the big-name guys that they want.
Maddie, who's termed the opener for Ohio State a ramp-up game.
Ramp-up.
You'll get a lot out of that game. It'll be a true ramp-up for Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has the opening line of that game.
I do have the line. Okay. I would love for you to guess.
49.5.
I was going to guess.
He saw it already.
Oh, did he?
I saw the line. I ruined the fight. I thought you knew. Now I feel bad.
No, I was going to guess 42.5.
Yeah, now I'm
you're good. You're fine.
But yeah, AKs were all
over. I thought you both knew it.
49 and a half.
I was just trying to earn points. But I like that I nailed it, and instead of him being like, oh my gosh, what a great guess, he was like, you cheated. He knew. He's like, ah, that guy, no way. That's about right. 49 and a half. I would actually probably take Ball State just because I feel like you get the first quarter kinks in any game. Might be, you know, 21-0 at half. Bucks still, and then in that case, you have to score. Maybe they score 28 in the second half, and you still don't cover.
And then Texas starts to creep into the coach's mind. Let's get everybody out,
healthy,
and all that.
Get ready. Yeah. Let's go.
They'd be grambling 70-0.
That's true.
You know, I'm not. Let's take it easily. I mean, if you think Ohio State's going to get to 50, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you think Ohio State's going to get,
do they shut out Ball State?
That's the question.
There you go.
And I think a lot of people would say, yeah,
yeah.
I mean, they went to Wisconsin and won 34-0.
That's true.
Like, I don't, like, definitely. Matty knows I say this all the time. It sounds like a lot of points until it isn't.
Yeah.
And you're right. The only thing that might be able to save them is if they take them out.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the second half.
And it is the first game, and I don't think you're that motivated to, like, remove dudes.
And we got to go to Austin in a few days as well. So I think that'll be a factor to your point.
Yeah,
like in the second half,
get as many,
take on Arch and all those guys. Let's go down there as healthy as we can.
All right. So you went up to Cleveland last night just because you heard it's going to be filled with celebrities and you had a backstage pass.
So here's the good news. Friday, I said, I really thought this series was going to go a much different route. So Friday, I said, hey, there's, you know, it's Memorial Day. We're good to have some live, fun content. We're going to talk about the Cavs anyway. That's going to be our lead because everybody in Columbus is a Cavs fan. And so let me head up there on Monday. This was Friday. So then Saturday happened, and Taylor Swift showed up. And I actually thought, well, there's no world where any other big celebrities come for game four. One, because this thing is blown out. And two, because Taylor Swift isn't coming back for a second game in a row. And then as we got up there, people kept texting me like, Chalamet just landed. Ben Stiller just landed. Spike's there. I'm like, wow. He says, they're coming for the sweep. And they got their show. And I got my selfie with Ben Stiller.
I'm a little jealous. I'm not going to lie. I think he's, in a weird way, I think he's underrated.
I do too. That's funny.
And I think that he's been in, like, there's something about Mary and Meet the Parents and Zoolander and a lot of quirky, funny movies that he'd probably be on a rank scale. He'd be below Will Ferrell, but he's got a lot of...
He's got Dodgeball, too,
Dodgeball.
Right?
Yeah. He's got a lot of everyday Greenberg. Like, he's got some movies.
The thing Night that the museums he doesn't get enough credit for, and this is what I told him last night, his directing
Whoa. Let's rewind that sentence for a second.
What?
And I told him last night.
Yeah.
Why did you just? What, are you his acting coach?
No, I just
rewind that sentence.
No, I just.
This is unbelievable.
I'm not going to walk up to a guy and say, "Can I get a picture?" and walk away. I went up and I said, "You know, you're great. You're very funny. You've made me laugh a million times. But I've got to tell you, your directing is unbelievable." And as I said,
how would you know that?
Because Severance, he directed Severance.
He did.
He directed.
But I mean, how do you know what a director does, really?
Because he writes that whole show. It's one of the greatest shows I've ever seen.
So his writing
and directing.
When you dropped a directing, that means you're on the set.
Mm.
You're
no,
watching
hold,
him direct no, actors.
Then, no,
I think if
on.
You just said, hey,
no,
Severance
on.
Was brilliant. What an idea. The writing's phenomenal. I think that I can live with. You're directing?
That's what he's the
director. It'd be like me saying, hey, Clint Eastwood, hey, heck of a job directing. Really?
It's interesting.
I'm going to know that?
That's interesting.
It's like an artist.
I'd have
great
to
job
pull
producing
actors.
That song.
Yeah.
Do we really know?
No, but see,
what
okay,
it takes?
I think, okay, when you go up to, if you see Christopher Nolan, are you not going to say you're an amazing director?
I don't know.
See,
it's how the actors.
I got him back.
No, it's how the actors, you know, experience the director. Not.
No, if I see Christopher Nolan, he's an amazing director.
Based off of how elite his movies
are. Yes, exactly.
James Cameron.
Thank
same
you.
Thing.
Amazing. See, okay, we're
so
back.
So you kind of got
we're
me
back.
With that. Because
yes.
if I saw James Cameron, I'm thinking about the Titanic and Terminator and all of those great movies that he made.
Yeah.
You're an elite director. Right.
You're an elite director.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not it's not me saying, like, your directing on set is unbelievable. Like, hey, you're the director of these amazing shows, I guess is a great way to say it, but... I don't know.
I think it was just actually what got me was when you said, and I told him that, because, like, almost like you guys were boys already.
We are. We're very tight. It's me, Bruce Thornton, Ben Stiller. We hang out. No, but it was very cool. I did also, so there was a point, this is true, where I was pacing around pretty much like, what am I going to put in my sports cast? Because this game is awful. Like, what do you show? How do you talk about a 40-point blowout? And just without just saying, this is a disaster.
That was embarrassing.
And that's kind of what I had to say. Anyway, while I'm doing that, I look up and there's Kylie and Chalamet. And I was literally like me and like them and one other person. And I go, and they like kind of walk towards me. I go, hey, man, hey, can I get a selfie real quick? And I go to take the picture. It's like, absolutely. You go to take the picture, and I hit the power. You know, you could take a picture with your volume button. No.
Now you got to put a code in.
So I said, don't worry about it. And he walked away. I said, oh, we got it. And I just stewed.
You didn't want to do the do-over.
You fumbled. I did.
I'm not going to go.
You're not going to tell him, hold on.
No, first of all, I don't do the selfie game very often. Like, I don't like that.
But when I do,
but like, everybody was doing it, so I was like, okay, all right. He's obviously
everybody's
like,
doing it.
Yeah, all the cool kids are doing it. I was like, okay, I can ask you. It's not going to be an inconvenience for him because he's done it.
He's right there, and he's on a roll.
Yes, all
right.
On a roll.
Is it a party foul if he would have gone up to Kylie Jenner and said,
can't do that.
No. With her guy there. Why not?
Me?
I don't think it's a party
foul.
Why
not?
I think I'm getting shoved out of the way by the bodyguard.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't. Was she there on the floor?
Kylie?
Or did she leave and then he stayed on the floor?
No, they were both there together.
Okay.
I mean, she's in the background of my botched selfie. I do have the botched selfie, which is me saying, we're good, and Chalamet walking away.
I want to see the botched selfie.
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
So, Maddie, you're there. I mean,
I think I would
have done that.
Want the selfie with Kylie over Chalamet.
Well, you know Alina Poroskova and Rick Ocasek, you know which selfie I got.
So, I'm with you. Yeah. So, I'm going Kylie over.
We're running out of time, but the big debate. Okay. Got to meet McConaughey at the Shoe. I think it is night and day, McConaughey and Chalamet. Do you all agree?
As far as what?
Stardom, celebrity movie star.
Yes, probably.
They're on such a different timeline.
I need an answer.
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey's a bigger star.
Yes.
100%.
Matt, you're so wrong, man. He is. It's a whole... you're so wrong.
Chalamet right now is on the ascent.
15 years from now, I don't know.
He's on his way from being in that room.
Chris Pratt or Chalamet?
Probably Pratt for me.
I also don't think Chalamet has made the movies yet that have been as impactful as Matthew McConaughey has.
But his directing, unbelievable.
His directing is phenomenal.
I think the Dunes are up there, AR. I think that's putting him on the map. Dune 1 and Dune 2. Those are pretty big for him. I didn't see Marty Supreme, but I heard it was good.
Yeah.
The movie about him.
I saw the first 3 minutes, and it was a weird first 3 minutes.
In the shoe shop, shining off shoes
and then
or whatever.
Something happens, and I'm out.
I did see the new Willy Wonka that he was in.
That was good.
Yeah, it was
musical.
I
mean, he's done some big
stuff. Gene Wilder.
He's on his way. Maybe not McConaughey level yet, but he's on his way.
Yeah, I was just looking at McConaughey's filmography. He's a lot older. I mean, he's been around, but I think just some of the parts that McConaughey has played have been more iconic than Chalamet. Is that the botched selfie?
It's the botched selfie.
Is it out of focus or is it just...
What about it
is botched?
I got the picture of him walking away.
Oh, you're not in it. There's a part of your nose is in it.
Because I thought...
That's the one you should frame.
That's the botched... It's a great story.
And that's the one that works. Yeah. All right, we're subbing you out. Tag in. We're going to tag the next guy in.
There he is. A lot of people think Bobby Carpenter and I look the same, you know?
Yeah. Well... In jail, we would tag the next guy in, and he's next. Yeah. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
1, 2, 3. Here in the Fan, it's always football o'clock. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. The Fan.
Hey, it's Austin.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever.
Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dix.com/scorecardplus for details.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. Ohio State football has landed four-star linebacker Prince Goldsby from Blue Springs South High School in Missouri. Goldsby is the number 7 linebacker in the 2027 class. Baseball tonight, Guardians host the Nationals at 6:10. Cade Cavelli starts for the Nationals against Joey Cantillo for the Guards, who paced the AL Central by 3.5 games. Ahead of the ball game, Cleveland called up left-hander Will Dion from AAA Columbus, while optioning southpaw Logan Allen. Dion is 3-0 with a 4.5 ERA in 15 games this year with the Clippers. Then at 7:10, Reds visit the Mets after Monday's 7-2 series opening win. NBA playoffs, Spurs visit the Thunder at 8:30 in Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals, series tied at 2. NHL playoffs, Golden Knights aim to sweep the Avalanche at 9 in Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan, Ohio Sports Destination.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Orthopedic One, Central Ohio's most trusted orthopedic practice. Find a physician or location near you at orthopedicone.com.
All right, hearts on fire. Our man is in. Robert J.
I was hoping you'd make a comment on the shirt, dude.
I mean, I love the shirt, actually. It's kind of an old school. I think I wore that sometime in, like, 88 or something. It's like not paisley, but it's amazing.
Well, so my dad, we go back home sometimes, and there are clothes my dad would wear when he was younger that...
was Cabana wear.
Yeah, well, and, like, they probably don't fit him quite as well anymore. And we had to... We had to go somewhere nice. I really didn't have a shirt. And I'm like, so went shopping through the old closet. I just wore this bad boy back, so I'm doing the hit with Dom today. You know what? It's going to be a real retro feel. It's going to be a real 1991.
I'm here for
boys,
awesome.
Boys the men.
Yeah.
Really lean into this.
A little Jodeci going on.
I feel good about this. I saw it in my closet. I haven't worn that since I wore it up here for my dad.
I got a bunch of my dad stuff, too. Is the Rocky, if I made you train to one soundtrack the rest of your life, ooh, Rocky IV is it, right?
That's probably it, yeah. That's probably getting it there.
Yeah. Incredible. I mean, there's not much you can't do when you listen to that.
The best part about Rocky IV is it's just basically fights and training. That's the whole movie. Like, period, end. You get in there, outside of James Brown dancing around, and Carl Weathers, they're doing it, and then they fight, gets his butt kicked, and then he's sad.
Well, the revenge of Apollo.
Yeah, but him driving the car, you can't win, going through the montage of all.
There's no easy way out.
It's like a highlight video of all the other movies
that
are right there. And then he tells Adrian, I'm sorry, I got to go to Russia and train. And then he trains, and then it's a 30-minute fight in the movie. So it's like there's no slow parts, really, like except for when she shows up. Like, that's kind of it.
You know, you pick out things from old movies, and you realize that they're not, like, the stuff that you thought was incredible. I was watching Rocky III the other day, and it's finally at the end where Rocky's just, he's mentally off, and Apollo takes him to the beach. They're both wearing the half shirts.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to just sprint on the sand, you know, and see, got to get some speed.
Got to do it tomorrow.
And they sit, and they're at the, and right, and Apollo looks at him and goes, you know, we need this speed. And then Rocky goes, Mickey Mitt never made me do this. What do you mean? He made you chase a chicken. He didn't make you run sprints on the beach. Like in his mind, the sprinting on the beach was so absurd to chasing a chicken. Mickey never made me do this.
Yeah, like, chasing a chicken. Which is more ridiculous?
What would you rather
chasing
do?
Chasing a barnyard animal or racing a dude on the beach?
Right. A fast opponent. You're like, it was just so weird to hear that line, the stuff that they put in some of these movies.
Oh, yeah.
And at the time, I was like, all right, I'm caught up in it. It didn't mean anything.
Your boy Harley would always do that with some like Top Gun and stuff, like wrong fight over the wrong line. Like, what does that even mean? Like, you know, you start talking about different things, and they just leave a lot of stuff like open. Yeah. Mick never made me do that. Then we can polish Mick. What do you mean he didn't make you do this?
It's like,
you didn't do any speed work? You didn't do this or that? Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you know, I've talked to you about this in the past, like where Adrian then has to become his hype person, and she's yelling for him to get his head out of his you know what on the beach, and like, what do we have that we can't replace, because he keeps saying, you
money,
know, I don't want to lose what I got.
Yeah,
He almost went blind in the first movie.
I know.
He's got half a brain, and he's finally saying, I don't want to lose what I got because we got a kid now. And she's like,
you? There's the kid?
Yeah, right. And she's arguing against it. No, you get back in that ring. I married a fighter. Like, the whole thing
then
flips.
Then he flips it on her in Rocky IV on the stairwell. He's going to kill you. Maybe he has to. Whatever. But he's like, he's gonna have to die to beat me or something like that. He flips it on her in Rocky IV.
Oh, there's some things now you notice when you go back. Oh, yeah. There's a disconnect. Bobby,
by the way, speaking of movies, you guys said who would be the star you would take. By the way, this is your radio row today. You just saunter guests in and out.
Talking about movies. Who's next?
Hey, what are you pitching, Bob? Let me tell you something about what
pitching
I'm doing right
80s
now.
80s shirts.
But it's got to be the guy that you would take. I was thinking about this, and the problem is if you take someone that's been an actor. Now, Cruise is pretty close, but he's not very big, and he's 63 years old. Rock's getting a little old, but I want somebody who wasn't like a classically trained actor that did something else, like on the way there. And like The Rock is probably it. The dude played college football. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
was
that
a
was
wrestler.
My choice.
I mean, he's done a lot of things. So there's like a certain element of toughness that's just going to come with him that like
real life toughness.
Real life toughness.
Yeah, you know? Not an actor.
Like if Sly was. Like Sly was 45 again, not 78 or whatever he is, he would be in that selection set. You know, because he didn't get his break till like 40 years old. He's out there hustling and grinding and doing things. Those guys start training.
What was the movie that Rock did with Stifler? He did that movie where he had to go get him out of the jungle or whatever.
What?
Remember that movie?
I have not. But I wanted to tell you this. I watched three movies this weekend. It was a real Rothman-style weekend. Okay. I watched Hitman with Glenn Powell, which is really good. He's quickly becoming my new Tom Cruise. Really liked it. And then we watched the one with Zac Efron and, oh gosh, the other guy. It's like Zach and Mike Need Wedding Dates or something, or Kevin and Mike Need Wedding Dates. It's from like 2014. Probably a little inappropriate because we started a movie at 7 and they were both like 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. So it was like a double feature for me and the kids. And my 10-year-old's, 9-year-old's watching this, and there's a little racy on some. And then Monday night, last night, when the Cavs decided to quit on me, I quit on them, and I wanted to climb that mountain, sleep in that tent.
Watched Apex.
Oh, it was good. I like that. That was pretty good.
He's a good villain.
He is.
When he starts playing the song.
Oh, it's...
Yeah.
It's creepy. And it's fast. It's like 95
minutes.
Yeah,
it's fine.
It moves. Like, it flies really quickly.
You kind of know what's going to happen. Oh, yeah. You know who is going to be the problem.
But how she gets out of it. Like, you're waiting to see how they get out of it.
I said
to you,
it was like Deliverance meets the River Wild when we talked about it.
Very similar.
Yeah. She's great in it.
She was good.
Supposedly she trained to know how to rock climb and do all this stuff.
She bashes his leg with that rock.
I mean, that was... Yeah.
That's what she
got to
do.
And then he had to trust her to kind of like... Yeah, the end is great.
I gotta get into this.
You would like it. It's pretty good.
But the beginning, when like
they're just on the sleeping off that mountain.
Yeah,
couldn't pay me to do that.
They have even
couldn't pay me.
I saw something, Maddie. On there was one came through my algorithm on YouTube that was about.
There's another movie
like
where
hotels on the side of these mountains, like these
like luxurious.
Like they're
hotels,
more luxurious like, things, like they're tubes and breakfast, and you can stay in them. Yeah.
Be scary. There's another movie. I'm trying to remember. Was it Cliffhanger where someone has to, they have to cut somebody loose at the beginning and you're always scarred by that. You got to make the decision you or them at some point.
Oh yeah. I forgot that about her guy.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's
he was knocked out.
Yeah. I mean, you had to make the choice. She's like, wake up.
Yeah. You're going to pull us off the mountain.
You're ripped out of there.
Rough.
Speaking of tough decisions, a movie that
my toothbrush rolls raw.
Yeah. Now,
I keep my toothbrush in a drawer in my attaché case, like Dob kit.
Okay, it's just not in the open.
It's not, no. Okay. So I like brush it, it goes back in its home.
That's better.
So what do you mean, but it's in a Dob kit though, that means it's...
Oh, it's in there with like some deodorant cologne, you know, sometimes...
But no wrap, no nothing.
No, nice and raw in there.
All right, you know, so that's... I don't go to that level.
I think that's out of bounds.
You're keeping the fecal matter off of it, but you might be picking up some other stuff. You know, you ever had a little deodorant on your toothbrush before?
Yeah, I don't think
tastes
I
a lot like soap.
What do you think of Bryce Harper's
into the
path
mouth?
Of squeezes the toothpaste into the mouth.
I grew up with three brothers, and I get on my wife about this because it drove me nuts. My mom was like, the toothpaste blobs. Because, like, you put it on there, and it's like, I mean, it was like a squirt gun. Just spray the toothpaste right off. She would make us clean it and get mad. So I'm crazy about that. And his method kind of solves that mm-hmm. problem. It's a little crazy.
It is.
You know, I don't know if I would really think about that. And if you're, is that your solo toothpaste tube? Are you sharing it with your wife? Because here's the thing, like,
it's got to be his solo.
I get that, but like, if we go somewhere, Rob's like, oh man, I forgot my toothpaste. Like, oh yeah, here you go, and they give you a little bit, and then you watch them just stick it in their mouth right after. Like, wait a second, you've always been doing that. You know, like,
right.
You just gave this up to me without me asking.
I've never been on board with sharing toothbrushes.
No. But toothpaste, it's like, hey, Maddie, I don't have any toothpaste.
Maddie, if I send you away on a romantic weekend with Halle Berry,
oh, yeah, you're sharing
and you forget your toothbrush, you're going to tell me you're just going to not brush?
Yeah.
I'm brushing all day tomorrow with her toothbrush.
Absolutely.
All day and tomorrow.
You might brush her with a toothbrush and then brush yourself.
I mean, I don't think he invented a new way to...
Because I think Rosman said you just can't stick it in dry.
He and Maddie. AK. The back and forth with AK.
And I was like, please, somebody's got
to
get
that. Don't be afraid to lose what was never meant to be, Nelson, after the rain.
I sent that to Bob Taylor already, so hopefully that's a promo for our show.
Wonderful.
But I'm saying in general.
Stick it in dry.
It was wild. Well,
and then we're talking about, he said that you put toothpaste on a toothbrush and you don't run water under it.
You have to do that.
You can put the water before the toothpaste.
I still think you need a little bit more.
I'm saying water straight to brush, then toothpaste.
Yes. It gives you enough moisture.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a slip and slide in there, Maddie, but it gets you lathered a little bit.
This was a whole deal on Bryce, though. Why is Bryce filming himself brushing his teeth anyway?
I'm gonna tell you this. I didn't like Bryce Harper until I met him. And I, because people are dogging him. I joke, he's like our honorary. Like,
he loves Ohio State.
Buckeye. Yeah.
So he married a girl that played soccer here, right?
And they were sitting up in the suite, and it's awesome. They are the nicest, most normal, mm-hmm. like down-to-earth people that someone could be when he was like the anointed one in baseball and has made like $500 million. Yeah. They're sitting up there. His wife's changing her kid, their baby on the floor of Ross's suite. And I'm like, these people are awesome. Yeah. Like that's what we would do. Yeah. And then they literally go out and it was awesome. My son, it had a real Miami Heat feel, game 6. My son left the game and then he texts me. He's like, oh, it's boring. We're gonna go back out to the tailgate, you know, in the middle of the fourth quarter. He goes, hey, I heard Bryce Harper's there. I'm like, actually, I think he might be. He goes, well, we got to get back in. I go, it's not how it works in the stadium, buddy. I go, so you know what you're going to have to do?
We got to get back in.
You're going to, because he had his friends there. You guys are going to have to stand outside the Huntington Club and wait until he comes out and goes down. And I'll try to talk to him and see if we can get a picture. And I talk to him. I'm talking to his wife. They go down. Nicest guy in the world. Mm-hmm. We're chatting. I'm like, hey, it's my son and his friends. Oh, yeah, get a picture. Then a dude comes up and asks me if I can get a picture with him. And Bryce is standing right there. I'm sorry. He goes, oh, no, this is great. And then they walk south. I go, where are you going? He goes, oh, we're just going to go cruise around the Oval and see some things. You're Bryce Harper.
You
got three little animal kids. Yeah. I mean, they're young like mine. They're, five is like 5 and 3 and then like a newborn.
By the way, credibility through the moon, you are having with us, but the fact that you're talking to him and then somebody comes up and asks to get your picture.
It was so awkward.
That may be the coolest thing that's ever happened.
So awkward.
All right, we're going to come back. I want you to hear from Greg Sankey, their stance on their own championship game. You'll hear that next. Rob.
Give me a mountain with lots to do. Give me the sunshine, give me a dew. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends, give me a dew.
Grab some friends and an ice-cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew!
Common Man and Timmy are putting together a hangout at the radio station for a small amount of listeners. Pizza will be involved. Ping pong, too. Lots of inappropriate conversation. And don't forget, pin the tail on Teddy. Tell Man and Timmy why you're the perfect guest by emailing goodcleanboy@gmail.com.
Presented by Billiards Plus and sponsored by Paisano Peppers.
The event takes place Thursday, June 11th, and all email submissions must be in by June 1st. Enter today. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly cloudy skies for us today, with temperatures getting up into the upper 70s to low 80s, and then chances of showers and storms as we head into the evening and overnight, with our lows down into the 60s. We will see scattered showers and storms on Wednesday. Could have some heavy downpours possible. Temperatures will get into the upper 70s to right around 80 degrees. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with a 10 weather impact forecast.
We test marketed naming the show A Guy and His Butlers.
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan. Rockman and Ice present Free Snap Reads.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy today at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
All right, Bobby Carpenter in studio. All right, so we've got some stuff going on with the SEC at their meetings. He tamped it down as far as like this happening right away, but there is a little bit of a split with the SEC. I mean, now, he led them to the 9-game league schedule for the first time, and I think they probably view this, Bob, as, all right, that's another good data point we're all going to have, and, you know, when they start talking about playoff, but they seem pretty... Go ahead.
It's also more money,
yeah,
because when you sell another conference game... Like, that's big-time ball that you're being able to pedal out there.
Yeah, he's got no regrets there. So, he's pretty committed to the SEC title game. So, if you expand the playoff to 24, you'd have to eliminate them, and you'd begin the playoff on the first Saturday in December instead.
Yes.
And he was pretty transparent with how lucrative that is.
Yeah, it's like a
$100 million
deal.
Yeah.
So that's basically $6.25 million to every team. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to find a way for every one of those schools to be able to get $6.25 million more than that. Like, and you're not going to come to them, hey, we're going to get you 6.5 now. No, no, no. It better be like, hey, we're getting rid of the game, we're getting 7 from the playoff and all this different stuff.
Yeah. I saw this quickly on Pro Football Talk before we hear from Sankey. Do you think that we should worry about if the Heisman Trophy ceremony takes a hit?
Like when they do it?
Yeah.
The thing is, I think you could change when you do it. You know, I'm a voter. Right? It's electronic voting now. This isn't like we're sending in mail-in ballots. So the last game happens. It would happen a week before. And since they've never included the postseason, you wouldn't change that. And so then you could probably find a way to do it in, around some of those games or in between.
The fear would be that the guy's like, hey, I'm just going to accept it from home, and it wouldn't be a big deal to be there anymore. And they bring back all the former winners, and it's such a massive
thing for the sport. It's the one thing I think that there's so many former guys that won it. It is an elite group of guys. I've never been to it. I don't know if you have.
I covered when Orlando Pace was actually up for it. I went that year.
And so you think when those guys go, I mean, it's the who's who of everywhere. And especially when you go to some of these bigger schools and they start wheeling in, you know, the guys, if three living Heismans from your school or whatever it is. They've got to find a time to do it. But I think you can find a time to do it and still have this all exist the way that it's
going. I really hope so, because this isn't like guys passing up on the draft and not going on the stage to get a picture with Roger Goodell. This is football history, you being a part.
But the games so much better. Now, it got 4 million viewers last year.
The ceremony did?
Yeah, that's the highest it's been in 15 years. But
that's because
the games are averaging 16 million.
Yeah.
So something might have to take a hit. All right, let's hear from Sankey on them trying to maybe hold on to 12.
Yeah, we've used examples from professional sports. When professional sports have added to their postseason, it's always been a small adjustment. You know, 4-12 was monumental, but I think it was justifiable. And you want to be careful about how far you go. And that's understanding the competitive impacts. And maybe you bring more teams into the conversation. And you make a judgment, because that's what I think you'd have to do, that, hey, a game that may not have that same type of leverage, if you will, or that same type of value, because both teams could be in, that's minimal. But the ability to bring more teams into the conversation that would have been out creates value in the regular season.
All right, so I read that as, if more teams are mathematically still alive, that might equal more trying and effort and people battling to get in late in the year. It actually may get us some competitive football later in games where you're playing a team that has three losses.
And it's the balance then of trying to look at that and say, if you've got stuff wrapped up and you're playing rivalry weeks at the end of the season, what's the incentive to play there? But you have Iowa, Minnesota that matters at this point. And maybe you get to see Iowa, South Carolina in the playoff. I don't know that anybody's clamoring to see that or what the numbers are going to look like on it. I understand why they're doing it. And you've heard everybody say, because if you're asking schools to make this type of investment, they need to feel like they can get access.
Yeah.
And the reality is, you go look at who's been in the playoff, especially in the 4 team, a lot of reoccurring characters. And even in the 12 team, it's like a lot of reoccurring characters. Like, if you can't get to the top 12, I don't know if it's really the sport for you, but I know this. You go look back over the last 25 years, Rutgers has been up there. South Carolina, you look at, you know, Missouri, schools that maybe historically we haven't thought of are all that good. They've had runs where they've finished the season, you know, 13th or 18th or whatever. Like, that's something that they feel like they can get to.
Bobby, we brought up an angle of this conversation last week, and I couldn't wait to ask you about it. Is there anything that could happen in college football that would turn you off from the product?
So here's the thing. I'm not their target audience in this, because I'm gonna watch them all anyway, unless they start looking like the Cavs last night. And I'll turn, like, some of those games last year, or the TNT with JMU. And I look at more of myself as the NBA. I used to always watch the NBA. Watched a lot of it during the regular season. And college basketball, watched a lot of that then. And then it just started becoming the tournament. And now it's like, all right, I dipped in on the Cavs in the couple games into the second round. Boom, I've watched all the Western Conference Finals, but I'm not really watching any of the early rounds, and my wife sure as heck isn't. And those are the people that you need to be able, the casual sports fan that thinks, like, this is a big deal, this is a big game, everybody's going to be watching this, that's why I'm
okay.
in on it.
I hear what you're saying. The only difference I would say, Bob, is one is a series, and one is a one-gamer.
That might be true.
One is a winner advances, and the next team they play, and it's bracket-oriented in that way. But I'm with you. Now, last year may not be the best example because Notre Dame and Texas were out.
Left out because of the way they seeded it and what they did and how they, the automatic qualifiers and everything else. Again, I don't know. I don't have an answer. I think people should have opportunities and have access to be in there. But at the same point, there were two teams that I think could have conceivably won a national championship that didn't get in, and they were in the top. They should have been in the top 12.
Notre Dame
and Texas, both of them. Now, the other argument you can make with Texas is, don't lose to a 4-8 Florida team. Hey, Sark, you know what? I would love to have that Texas Tech schedule. Do you know how many Big 12 titles Texas won since inception in 1996 until they left 2 years ago? Four.
Not many.
Four. Mm, Oklahoma, man. 14.
You said since 96.
Yeah. Or 97, whenever they started. Yeah. Wow. Since the Big 12 was formed. They won four, and we're over here just puffing our chest out. Like,
dude. I mean, think about all the years that we talked about. Is Texas back? How many light years they had up until this run? Now, that makes a lot of sense.
Let me ask you this, though. This is tough, so I'm going to circle back on you here. Let's say Krenzel doesn't hit Michael Jenkins.
Oh, yeah.
Are you saying, hey, just don't lose to Purdue if you were left out?
That Purdue team was a lot better, I believe. Like, that was not that was a 4-8 Florida team.
But if you lost what would it have been? It would have been
We would have been left 6-3. Out
6-3.
Yeah,
you would have scored 3 points in West Lafayette.
I was at the games, Martin. I know how good our offense.
I'm just
was.
Saying, like, yes, you can say to them, just don't lose to Florida, and you guys played umpteen close games that year. If you don't get one of them, you are still national championship worthy. Is my point.
But you got to win your games, and the way that was set up at that point. We weren't one of the best teams in the country that year. We just happened to win the right games at the right time.
You won them all.
Say best. We weren't the most talented. Yeah. We found a way to get wins when we needed to.
It's good stuff, man. All right. Thanks for coming by.
Always.
Pleasure. We'll send you back to
pleasure
the 80s.
Pleasure was all mine.
It's a business doing pleasure with you. That's our friend, Robert J. Carpenter. We'll come back.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
PSA.
Rossmann and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Anthony once got Jack Nicklaus to quote the movie Caddyshack.
So he's got that going for him.
The last time I saw a mouth like that, I had a hook.
Which is nice. You're listening to Rossmann and Ice.
Let's go while we're young.
All right, fun show. Who's next?
TLC,
TLC. Who do you got?
Hey, good to
next?
Talk to you guys.
Well, do you have an update on the toothbrush poll that you threw out there? Because earlier we had brought up that, you know, I have a cap on my toothbrush in my bathroom. AR doesn't, and a lot of people followed and called in and said I don't have a cap. And then we talked to some people in the hallway, AR, during one break, and they had mentioned us. They have caps on there. Bobby Carpenter comes in and says, no, you threw it out earlier that you believe this is going to be a landslide in favor of
90%.
No, I don't have a cap.
People have their toothbrush in their bathroom, in a cup, in a glass, whatever, a holder.
Yeah.
Toothbrush straight up, dripping, whatever. That's it. No one is. Now, I made probably the wrong location. You don't want it as close to the toilet side, maybe.
Or I don't think you want it in the drawer like
no,
Bobby has it next to the Gucci guilty.
No, he just threw it in his dop kit, like with other stuff. Like
that's nice.
And stuff falls in there.
Yeah, we can't be having that.
Yeah,
either.
He's got the nail clipper in there and other things. Like I don't think I'd want.
I think you're going to be on the right side of this.
It might be 100%.
I don't think there's a lot of people that are doing this, and I want everybody to do this. So TLC, what is?
I want everyone to do this.
What's the tail of the tape on the poll?
Well, first of all, we're super late on the responses because I have forgotten to go back and retweet it and undo the retweet and retweet it again and undo
it. Can you extend the voting or not really?
Yeah, we're still going. We still have till tomorrow.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
But I'll let it drift then.
Early returns are in Rothman's favor.
Okay.
All right. But that could flip. You know, I was talking to Dylan Gonzalez on one of our weekend shows. I think it was a couple weeks ago. And he said he was going to bring to T-Bone and Tyvus something like trying to figure out what would be a topic that you could put on a poll that would be the closest to 50-50. Ooh. And the one that I suggested to him, the first thing that came to mind, and I'm not even sure I love this, but are you a regular coffee drinker? That's the first one that came to my mind in terms of what will land you a 50-50 result.
I still think that would be probably the winner. That would be yes, coffee. Yeah. I think it would be 60-40. I don't at minimum.
I was going to go like 80-20.
You think it'd be? Yeah.
It just feels like everybody that I talk to,
I'm in the 20.
Drinks coffee.
Don't.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
TLC, you don't drink coffee either, do you?
Not regularly.
Yeah. Okay.
If it's in front of me or
that's
someone's making
by
a
the
run.
Way, you'd have to do it daily. Do you drink it daily? Daily.
Yeah.
I think that's the difference. Right?
Oh, yeah.
I think coffee drinkers drink it daily.
Because I know our guy Tyler Danberg, he'll rip through like what? 4 to 5 cups a day?
Seriously?
And that may be on the light side.
Dude, there was one day.
Man.
Because my desk is right by the coffee machine. And I said, how many cups has this been? Because I'm like, I keep seeing him walk through. And he goes, dude, 7.
Man. And I wonder for people like that, at that point, it can't be a caffeine thing. Is it just the taste of it? Because I. Like people
well,
that I know,
drink what's decaf. That seventh cup doing for you?
You
that
can
the
drink decaf,
dish?
True. Because it's like
him a vial of crack too.
There's
like that's, I mean, that's ridiculous. He's going to be up till 3 a.m. every night.
But see, that's the thing. A lot of the people that I talk to, AR, that are heavy coffee drinkers, tell me like one of my friends, like, I can drink coffee at 11 o'clock at night and then go right to bed.
Well, maybe he can because he's got such a tolerance.
I wonder if Tyler Danberg is in the same camp now.
Wait, why would you do that though?
That's so I can have as many cafe lattes as I want.
I guess
Tyler, you're racing. Slow down with your update. Hey, yeah, it says here I can have as many cups of coffee as I want.
Do this for yourself.
I guess that's what I'm trying to figure out, TLC, is for those people, is it just I like the taste of coffee at that point?
Yeah.
I guess.
Because you're not getting the, like if I drink a cup of coffee right now,
I would be up until probably 3 in the morning.
I can go interview our coworkers because TV people are the biggest coffee addicts.
Well, they have to stay up. Here's the difference. The difference between a TV job and any other job you're listening. Every job, not everyone, most ramp down at the end of your day. So most days you start, you get a busy day, and it ramps down. TV ramps up. So if you come into work here at the TV station at 2:30 in the afternoon, you have to be your mentally sharpest at the very end of your day. So like when I was working for Channel 6, if you were like our sportscast was at 11:22 at night, I'd come in at 2:30. So the last 4 minutes, 5 minutes of your day, you have to be the most sharp. And think about any other job where that would be, like where you would ramp up like that.
I guess my question is,
that's why you're drinking the coffee.
Adam King, Nicole Scherer, and Dom Tiberi, are they feeling the effects of coffee at this point? That's what I want to know, because I hear what you're saying, and that makes a lot of sense. But Adam, I know for a fact, he drinks a lot of coffee. He's got to be,
then he probably stays up till 2:30, like we all do.
You think it's because of the coffee?
No, you're just kind of wired. You have to be so mentally and physically sharp at the end of your day.
That makes sense. I just don't think coffee's affecting those people anymore. I don't think that's ramping up for them. Like, the coffee's ramping up towards...
It's not ball stating them?
towards that 11 o'clock hit. I don't know, because I don't drink coffee at all, but he talks about the 50-50 poll. Like, a question that could get us pretty close to that. Could you think of anything? Anything pop in your head for that?
Nothing. I really don't have one. That would be
an even split.
Unless the behavior of Americans.
Oh, Lord.
That's too much brain work.
Coffee's the best that I got.
The coffee's a good one.
Do you?
Yeah, 50-50. Who knows?
What did he say? Did he have one that he...
I forget what he said. That's not good. That's not helpful for this conversation.
Yeah, that wasn't helpful. This one's dying on the vine. Didn't retweet. 50-50. The burglary ring, I guess, has been uncovered. The cops caught the crooks that were tied to all the athletes, like Travis Kelce and Mahomes. And
Burrow.
I don't know if Burrow was involved in this. I think Juan Martín del Potro, the former tennis player.
Argentina.
Broke into his house.
So you're saying 2008 U.S. Open?
He did win the U.S. Open. I remember it was 2008. Good call on your part, though.
So you're saying it's the same squad of
three people accused
thugs out here.
Yeah. I don't know.
Is it Chiefsaholic?
Here's the thing. Oh, wait. Wait.
He's robbing banks.
Pros across all major sports were dealing with serious invasions. Burrow, Kelce, Mahomes, Luka, and more being targeted due to their public schedules and social media activity. We always know where you are.
I know.
Dummies, stop doing that. Wait.
It's only so much these guys can do, though. Like, if, you know, Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, no, you know when they're playing.
From the hours of, let's say, 5 to almost midnight, you're probably not going to be home.
Mm.
Right? So it's kind of not easy, but...
Well, I mean, now he will be.
Well, got a lot of time on his hands now.
But they also can afford incredible security systems and just...
You probably get caught up a little bit in the, hey, I live in a nice neighborhood, crime's probably at a low percentage around here.
Glad they caught him. That's great.
Do I want to spend that money? And then this happens, and you probably think otherwise.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing when I was talking earlier about whether Kelce and Taylor actually bought those seats. They can afford anything. I mean, this anything they want in the world.
They probably cut somebody a check for
that. I was thinking about that, too.
Who sold those seats? And then when they left, I tweeted a couple of my boys. I'm like, if I took the T-shirt... Because they didn't put them on. So when Travis and Taylor left their seats 30 seconds to go at half, their T-shirts were still on their seats.
Okay.
And I'm wondering, if I could validate it, and I got the T-shirt that Taylor was sitting on.
Her back has touched this T-shirt.
Is that worth more? Would some idiot pay more for
than
that?
It actually...
If I could authenticate that was the shirt she sat on, or her back, or whatever. Yeah,
yes.
Her backside.
People are selling bags of air from a Kanye West concert.
Yeah. What do you think I get for that T-shirt
Taylor Swift's
if
back.
I could authenticate it?
Five digits.
The Swifties are crazy enough. You're getting a nice chunk of change.
$10,000.
I think you could get there. I think you could get there. I think you could get to 50. I think you could start with 50. Honestly. I think you could start with $50,000, and I think a Swifty would cut you that check.
There's nothing more than just it was draped over her chair.
We're not the ones spending that much money on it.
I know. That's
you're not a Swifty.
Okay.
You know?
I should have done it.
I do wonder this, though, specifically with Knicks games, because a lot of the people in the front row are celebrities. Like, you know, for example, like a bunch of CEOs can afford to sit front row because they have a ton of money, but like, you don't fanboy over CEOs the way you do perhaps Ben Stiller if you're a fan of his movies or some of the shows that he's appeared in or stuff like that. And so if you meet Ben Stiller, then you strike a relationship with him. If Ben Stiller knows James Dolan, don't you think he's texting him and be like, hey, like any availability or something like that?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I'm sure Travis Kelce, his people got in touch with the Cavs, said, hey, we want to come to the game, and of course we want you at the game.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, like, who gave up their seats to game three?
And is Dan Gilbert putting them on the ban list?
No, because they're Cavs fans. She's a Cav fan, so you're allowed.
Bad luck now.
It was the Knicks. It was if you sold your seats to...
To a New York Knicks fan.
Any fan, especially a celebrity, too. Because Cleveland, I guess, did whack some of these fans that had season ticket holders.
Which I kind of respect from Dan Gilbert. It'd be hard for me to say no to what I think that number would have looked like for you.
I mean, part of you would say, wait a minute, I bought my seat, I can sell it to who I want. The other part is, wait a minute, he owns the team, they can refuse service to anyone they want to. For no reason.
It was like $300,000.
You think somebody would have paid that much, sit courtside for that?
Probably. I think Stiller and those guys, to soak in that moment, something that they haven't seen for decades.
They were behind the basket, not courtside.
If you're up 3-0, don't be spending that much money on game four.
Yeah, wait till the finals.
Yeah, but
wait till your game five back at MSG.
Yeah, I think if you're Stiller and Chalamet and those guys,
they wanted to see them clinch.
Yeah, you want to be there for that moment.
I just started thinking, like, would they have gotten their seats for free somehow? And I don't, not that it matters.
Didn't sound like they would have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we're coming back with Tell the Truth.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Five.
Your favorite fan shows are available as a podcast. What a concept. And don't miss exclusive podcast content like Austin and Burn. Listen on your schedule from anywhere in the world. Available wherever you get your podcasts. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Tell the Truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
All right, TLC, take us home, my man.
All right. Would you like Dinger Draft or no?
I would love Dinger Draft.
Of course you would, Judge.
AR's going guy. Crazy. Your guy leads the league in home runs right now. Your guy's the first of 20. Year. Schwarber is going nuts, TLC.
Yeah, it's fine. It's a one-man team.
Well, so are a couple others. Thank you very much. Pete Alonso's doing okay for you. So Rothman is still in third place at 45. Obviously, Kyle Schwarber is almost half of that. I'm in second at 48. Kind of a very slow week by me. And then Juan Soto has really kicked it into gear.
I thought he's day-to-day.
And well,
he was.
He's back.
Still had a great week.
He did, and I dodged a bullet.
He got tweaked.
He did. Yeah. But I obviously he's all right. All right. But that was out there. AR.
The judge went crazy.
And then I thought about TLC this weekend because I had on in the background the Astros game, and Yordan Alvarez got pulled in the middle of an at bat, and I'm thinking, here we go. And then he came back yesterday and I think hit another dinger. So I dodged a bullet this weekend because I thought Yordan was going to be down for a little minute.
Well, you may have had two scares because if Vladdy got plunked and left the game, and I have no idea what happened after that. So he might be on the IL and I don't even know it.
He's not doing anything for my team anyway. So if that's an IL 60, I'll almost am kind of rooting for that.
To get that's somebody a win.
Else on the roster, yeah.
All right, so I'm 45, you're 48, and he's where?
53.
All right. Okay. I'm within three of...
You're in striking distance.
That's it.
You're in striking distance.
I need the big dumper back, and then he needs to go nuts.
What's his ailment?
Back? Oblique. Always okay, oblique. Suarez had the oblique.
Back in the lineup, though.
Schwarber, yeah. And I have Suarez. He's back. Did well the other day.
Yeah.
Just need to hit some out of the yard.
Okay. All right. So there we are.
Have you or would you ever go ice fishing?
Nope.
Because I've seen The Dark Knight Rises, the answer to this is no. Because
Death by Exile?
In that scene where they're making those dudes walk out on that ice and then they just fall straight through to their death of just freezing to death in cold water, that stuff plays in my mind. So I would be thinking, Cole, that going out there, that would be my fate, is that the ice would shatter and Matty Ice would turn into Litter Ice.
Yeah. But you got to live up to your name.
So no.
Yeah, what do they offer him? Just death or exile? But it turns out to be death by exile. Yes. Like, it's make it quicker. Like, most of the guys got about, 10 yards?
Yeah.
Got a first down, the other just and then it's over.
Step by step out there. You're about 50 yards out there, and just by every step, there's more fear by the second.
Yeah, no thanks. That's not anything I want to be a part of.
Okay.
We're going inside him. We're going outside him. Inside him, outside him.
So we did not get to this audio earlier in the show, but Donovan Mitchell was asked immediately after the game here in Game 4 after the sweep about the prospects of maybe LeBron joining the mix.
Well, he made it pretty clear where you stand, so I'm going to change it up here a little bit. Would you like to see Bron? Is that a call you would make to him?
We just ended the game, Joe.
I don't know when I'll see you again.
That is not for me. I'm not trying to get a headline. That's not for me. I'm not going to answer that. It's not for me. That's a Kobe Altman question. That's a Mike Gansey question. Because I know no matter what I say, no matter how I say it and how I try to navigate it, it's going to be a thing. So I'm sorry, Joe. I'm not going to give you anything. You have to ask Kobe and them. All I know is what we got in the locker room, and I go to ride with those guys every single day of the week. That's all I got.
All right, so he's a smart guy, right? No one's ever accused him of not being smart. So his answer was appropriate, but it doesn't erase the fact that he has an opinion on it. So I'm trying to think, what would he have said if he was absolutely telling you the truth? That's what people want to get to. Like, he says, like, was that a call you would make? Of course it's not his decision, but he has an opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part where I think the question, while the question's getting just bludgeoned, like, horrible question, stupid question, like, you heard the reporter say, I don't know when I'm going to see you again. It's everything, it's all people are going to talk about.
Yeah.
Is LeBron, can LeBron at 43 come back and save the Cavs? and then the real part of it is, Donna, would you want to play? There's only one answer. Who wouldn't want to play with LeBron, right? That's the only real answer. But it doesn't make them a better basketball team, and that's why he was smart in walking the tightrope. But I think the question itself is, you walk into a press conference like that, Matty, you're saying, all right, what is everyone in that building now thinking?
Mm-hmm.
What's the embarrassment's next? Over, right? How do you get past this, and is that the right guy, or is it just a ceremonial ending?
Yeah, this happened, I think, with Lamar, and he was asked a question about Harbaugh and Harbaugh's future right after their last game, and he pushed back on it a little bit. So you just have two different agendas going on.
Yeah, that was a little bit of, that's a rough one, right? Because the only answer there was, of course I want him back as my head coach. Yeah. I like him. But if you play down the middle, then people are going to lean into, well, maybe... Because, like I said,
it's like the Paul Skeens comment about Connor Griffin, right? Where he was that kid's going to be the face of the franchise moving forward. And to your point, AR, people are reading into that. Well, wait, you're not going to be? You're not going to be? Where are you going to be, Paul Skeens? And so, I think athletes, reporters, there's different agendas going on at these type of press conferences. And I think that's what happened with that question there. And I think that's Joe Varden that he's talking to in the clip. I can understand why Joe would want to ask that question. Because like you alluded to, AR, when we get done with the finals, there's going to be more talk, I think, unless the Knicks win it, about where LeBron's going next than it is, let's say, if OKC wins the championship again this year. Like, that's how much of a deal that's going to be. So I can understand why Joe wanted to ask that question in that press conference.
Listen, he was a good teammate. He answered that question as a good teammate.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ride with the guys we have in the locker room. And I'll let the GM figure out the roster. All I can control is what I am and what.
No question.
But he's a star.
Yes.
And he has an opinion. And that's why that question was okay being asked.
He may not have to answer that question publicly, but he's going to have to answer it, I believe, privately, because I think that's something that the front office is going to explore. And I think they're going to ask Donovan about that. And vice versa, when they talk to LeBron's camp about playing with Donovan or James Harden, whoever it's going to be. It's going to be a fascinating summer for them.
I find the fascinating part for me is if LeBron really, truly wants to bookend his career, he's going to have to take some financial hit to do it.
Yeah, no doubt.
And then you'll find out exactly where his heart is. Because he can take a hit. If he really wants
he
Cleveland,
can afford it. No,
they can't afford him if he's going to say, well, I got to get what I can get.
Yeah, that makes the whole scenario tough. I happen to think there's better basketball fits for him right now after this situation. But yeah, that'll be something we talk about for sure in the coming months. Is LeBron
We're blessed to be 1-6 in the league.
Is that Ed Cooley?
So blessed.
You miss anything from our show, you could always catch up, folks, wherever you get your podcast. Just type in Rothman and Ice. Everything we do from noon to 3, we'll be waiting there for you. Subscribe to the pod as well. Common Man and Timmy coming up next, so don't move.
All right, we're back at it tomorrow, high noon, full show. We'll have Shefty for you and a lot more. You'll join us then, hopefully. We appreciate you, Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
All the Ohio State conversation you can handle. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Your Ohio State flagship station.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Give me a mountain with lots to do. Give me the sunshine. Give me a dew. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing Mountain Dew. So give me my good friends, give me a dew.
Grab some friends and an ice-cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.